It's Friday!
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia!
France!
Germany!
UK!
Africa!
Here we go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are off and running, wrapping up another broadcast week of independent liberal progressive broadcasting at the Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live on the interweb tubes. And it is where you go if you would like to augment your listening experience when the program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And just go to HeadOn.live, click on chat room, and You'll pop right in there once you picked out a screen name and a password. If you never have before, just use the old one if you have one. And this evening, you'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Squeaky and Roger in Oregon and Anatole, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator, veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, understands that discretion is the better part of valor and has declined to fold space into a 91-degree man cave on a smoky and hazy day in Northern California, brought about by a fire to the north of Sparky's digs. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Friday on the front porch, the 14th day of May, 2021, and heading into the weekend, we've got some various and sundry stories to take a look at, and things to ponder and wonder about, And of course, being Friday, it means Friday on the front porch, and consequently, let's see here. But consequently, we will fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in about, 56 minutes or so, and see what's going on with the folks who pop in. Listen, you're always welcome to join in on the front porch. And a reminder that no longer do you have to have Skype in order to use the group that we gather together in for Friday on the front porch. What do you mean, Randy? Throw the third switch. The third switch is thrown, and I am sending like a wild thing. Hopefully that'll sort itself out. It's real easy to get in on the front porch conversation. Just pop by HeadOn.live. There's a button there, and just click it, and it'll carry you over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, at whose seat of honor, Sparky, for lo, these many years has sat. But I really, really do want to encourage you, if you're listening live, pop on in, please. Feel free to participate. More voices makes for better conversation. New voices makes for new perspectives. And this, Friday on the front porch is it's a conversation unlike anything just about anywhere else, maybe short of the conversation that John Bridivo gets going on. And I don't know what John's up to this evening. Maybe he'll pop by this evening. It would be lovely. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so, consequently, thanks go out for this 14th day. The 14th day of of May, our subscribers for that day. And what that means is thanks going out to Paul. Thank you, Paul, so very, very kindly. Thank you to Ralphs. And thank you to Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you to Kevin in Massachusetts. Thank you all so very much. And what that means is our fundraising goal has dropped to, in order to finish the week and be fully funded and pay the bills, that'll make sure that there's a June horn. And we are down to $1,040 to finish the week. And that is a community-made miracle. And I hope to goodness we can knock some of it out because, well, the bills they bill us every month, to get downright Shakespearean. Thank you, Kathleen, yesterday. Thank you to Larry yesterday. Thank you, Kevin, yesterday. Thank you, Jeremy, yesterday. And again, thank you to Ralphs and Paul. Thank you to Matt in San Francisco. Thank you to Glenn for jumping in. Thank you all so very, very much for helping to keep the plates spinning on all the sticks. Absolutely. If you'd like to help out, well, this would be a great evening, because as much as I would love to be able to keep this program running through the force of my delightful personality, the folks in Appalachian Power and Shentel and Verizon and whatnot so far have been, I don't know, the reception's been a little bit cold in that regard. Hopefully, Randy, the third switch is thrown and you're getting the broadcast now. The Man Cave, a note coming from Ron and Raleigh. Like Arrakis, the Man Cave was made to test the faithful. Hear, hear. Yes. That's very true and worthy of a jingle. Kind of like West Virginia football was created to teach patience to the faithful. But it's May. We're not going to talk about college football for at least a couple more months. Let's see here. A note coming in early from Lamar the Magnificent. I wanted to talk about Ms. Marjorie Taylor, crazy-ass Greene, and how she wants to be bum rush. Yes, she claims she has a freedom protector. Your freedom protector does you no good when you're getting your head bashed into the concrete multiple times. The police report read Ms. Greene had a firearm but was unable to use it due to the bumfuck rush. She did not have time to pull her freedom protector while she was kissing concrete and getting the shit. I have a problem. I think Lamar is trying to make a hypothetical point there. Lamar says, I have a problem with Israel. Yes, they have the right to protect themselves, but being a black man in America and mixed with American Indian, I see the same invasion of America with Israel. It's the bad treatment in the lost land settlements. Remember, the Indians lost all their land, and the white man felt bad and gave them the most shitty portion of land to live or die on, whichever comes first. Yeah. And I don't know. I wish we weren't even talking about it. I do, because somebody's feelings are going to get hurt. And I try to keep this. You know, we have to learn to be. We have to be able to be. We have to be able to disagree without being disagreeable. And toward that end, Robin, democracy may be dying, says Joey. Wouldn't you know it, on cue, per the Israeli-Palestinian conversation of a few nights ago, on this day in 1948, the independent state of Israel was proclaimed when British rule in Palestine came to an end. That's not a coincidence. There's a lot of, there's a whole lot of politics involved in the current unease and ill feeling. Jeffrey shares some independent thinking.
Yes, it took them 2,000 years to gain nationhood status, and it'll take them 2,000 more. Oh, hell, it'll take them 2,000 Jewish laser light years to have peace in the Middle East. See what Jeffrey did there with the Jewish laser light years? Marjorie Trader Green Cucumber and her Jewish space lasers. But Jeffrey is sadly well, it doesn't seem so hyperbolic, really. Having the argument about peace in the Middle East is a waste of time. The Israelis will always hate the Palestinian Arabs, or Bedouins, as they often refer to Palestinians, and the Palestinian Arabs will never trust the Israelis. Jeffrey has a little fight in him.
It just seems as if there's no answer to this ongoing saga, and at this moment as we speak, the Gaza Strip has erupted again after a conflict in Jerusalem. These people claim they are fighting for rights to their homeland and just want a peaceful resolution. Hell, as a giraffe, I think fighting for peace is like fucking for chastity, but hell, I'm only a giraffe. What the hell do I know? Speaking of Jerusalem and the Jewish Independence Day, it's also Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg's birthday today, and he's only 37 years old and worth over $100 billion.
Yeah, you got that kind of money. Why wouldn't you go off and do something you really like? Now, I didn't know giraffes were so good at math, but Giraffe says, now let's see, $100 billion converted into, it comes out to a hell of a lot of money. Why can't Zuckerberg become a Zucker builder and build some nice condos for the Palestinians along the Gaza Strip? I really think at that point everybody could live in peace and experience some, wait for it. Yes, everybody in the Middle East could experience peace and have some Instagramification. Instagramification, instant gratification. See what he did there? Yeah. Good thinking, old boy. Good job, Giraffe. Joey notes, one of the best courses I ever experienced in college was a Middle Eastern course with a wonderful professor who really cared about Middle Eastern affairs. The class took place on Tuesdays and Thursday evenings, and on Tuesday the professor would dress up in a Jewish outfit, and on Thursdays he looked like Yasser Arafat. It was truly amazing to watch this man attempt to present both sides of the Middle Eastern political spectrum. The professor was great, and even though there were a couple of Jewish people in the class and an Arab Muslim gentleman from Lebanon, the two sides never clashed and even began to gain another perspective by the time the class came to an end at the end of the semester. That class alone was worth every penny my parents ever paid for me to attend college. And Giraffe wants to educate us some more.
As it turned out, that was one of the last classes Joey took in college because he graduated after that semester, and Joey received some... Yes, Joey graduated after that semester and received some instant gratification.
Richard, and Richard, Joey notes, is the... gentleman, he's presently dying, whom Joey cares for. Richard's son came in from Philadelphia yesterday, and Jay and I went to Slimon's Deli in Cleveland. Obie, still my heart. The home of the best, no doubt about it, the best corned beef sandwich on earth. I know, I'll get letters from the New Yorkers and letters from people in Chicago. And just know, it's Slimon's in Cleveland. Deal with it. I mentioned, Joey says, that Jay attended the Ivy League school in Philadelphia, Penn, and more specifically, Penn's prestigious Wharton School of Business, allegedly the alma mater also of Nitwit Nero. Jay's told me the stories about Donald Trump attending that prestigious pillar of pedagogy, and it's pretty well understood that Donald Trump rarely attended classes at Penn and never did his own work. Jay has his own recording studio not far from the Walt Whitman Bridge. Interesting that Jay crosses that bridge to go home to Cherry Hill, New Jersey every night because Jay is a writer and editor who edited a book written by none other than the Wolf of Wall Street jailbird Jordan Belfort. Jay and I spoke of many things about his father. We laughed and we cried as the reality of his father's demise is imminent. I told Jay, that two things have recently struck me, one being that Richard complains he is trapped in the prison of his bed as he is now bedridden, and speaking of beds, this immediately brought to mind that Richard, as a Jew, hates the Bedouins or the Arab Palestinians and has expressed that sentiment to me many times. I cannot help to think to myself, as I see Richard trapped in his bed, that now he is a Bedouin stuck in his bed, just like the Palestinians are stuck and trapped in Gaza than that open-air prison. Finally, I mentioned to Jay last night that I'm losing a very close friend as each day Richard's life slips away, and the irony of it all is this. Just as Richard's life is slipping away, I greatly fear that at the very same time, so too is our democracy on its deathbed. This has been Joey's Journal for Friday, the 14th day of May, 2021, with Giraffe wishing a happy birthday to film producer George Lucas, and may the 14th be with you. for the creator of Star Wars, Indiana Jones, and American Graffiti. And there is a $25 Instagramification challenge. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffe. That was one of the... And you know, talking about that conflict will do it to you. That is one of the more grim Joey's journals that we've had, as far as I can recall. But I understand why. It's heartbreaking, and it's heartrending. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Otto got us started. We're down to 1,040 now, and we are making progress on the $25 Instagramification challenge. There's $15 remaining on that. Thank you. And getting the program started anonymously, we have a matching challenge to help knock out some of the deep deficit. Our anonymous friend has put forward a $100 when billionaires choose you lose challenge. And so there's $115 in challenges now on the table. And it will be most helpful if we can get some of the days of this week funded so that we're not in so desperate a hole. Sorry to talk about it, but these are just facts. Two more cowbells for Joey, says Billable Rick. Jewish laser light years. And instant Instagramification. Done. What the Zuck wants. Ron in Raleigh says, as the Wayans brothers used to say on In Living Color, Zuck wants more money, more money. What could be more fun than enriching oneself, as Bones said, beyond the dreams of avarice? Yeah, I just think that's the mark of a very empty soul. Because there is so much more to life on Earth. There really, really is. I mean, you're 37. Isn't it? And when you get $100 billion and you're 37, what do you do for a midlife crisis? Back in my guy days, I would sit around and dream of a Porsche Carrera Targa 4. And that would have... Yep, I grew up. But what is it? Maybe he wants to own a government? Maybe he wants to be Jeff Bezos? I don't know. I don't know. It's so foreign to me. And by the way, just from the My Life files, have you ever been sending a text message and you type that four-letter word that begins with F and ends in K and has a U and a C in the middle of it, and autocorrect changes that to duck? Well, there's a reason. I had a hankering for a really good burger. And, you know, you don't get good burgers at burger joints. You get good burgers when you make good burgers. So I ran up to the Wiggling Pig and got some lean ground beef and some nicely sliced cheddar and brought it back here. And they got some heirloom tomatoes from Mexico that are just fabulous, beautiful, juicy things. And I sliced the heirloom tomatoes and I hit it with that Aldi umami seasoning. I was in Aldi the other day. The umami seasoning is gone, at least for me. So I've got a bottle and a half left, and I'm going to have to choose wisely what I decide to put it on. Nonetheless. So our next-door neighbors, sweet people, have ducks. And every now and then, my neighbor will give me a couple of duck eggs. And like I said before, they're orders of magnitude more wonderful than just regular hen's eggs from the grocery store. And so I'm standing there getting the griddle hot for the burgers and pattying out the burgers and everything. And I hear a bit of a commotion. You know, I've gotten used to the ducks next door because they're pretty close. They're right on the property line, a little fenced-in area. And they just kind of chatter over there in their duckish way. But today, there was an outright commotion. And I looked over, and I saw three of the... There's four ducks. I saw three of them. I guess I've lived a sheltered life. And it looked like one of the ducks was trying to drag something through the grass, and then I realized, oh, no! That's the fourth duck! And I suddenly realized why it is that when you try to type F-U-C-K into a text message, it autocorrects to duck, and it wasn't pretty. Nope. The other duck couple, male and female, were standing around the male that was doing the dirty deed, and giving him shit. Get off her! Get off her! Get off her! And the poor female didn't like it because he had her neck in his beak. Keep holding her. Oh! I know, it's just nature, Robin. It's just nature. I mean, this is how they... How do you think you get those wonderful duck eggs, huh? But... If you've ever heard, and I've used it, the exclamation, well, fuck a duck. It's not just because it rhymes. It's because it's horrifying. And I just... I immediately flashed on the scene from Galaxy Quest where... The alien female is going after Tony Shalhoub, and there's just tentacles everywhere. And Security Chief Rock Ingersoll accidentally looks over and he responds, "Oh, that's just not right." And all of this as I was trying to fry up some hamburgers. And I think it's put me off duck eggs for a little while. But, you know, even as bucolic and pastoral as our existence here in the hills and hollers of almost level West Bicol, Virginia can be, oh, sweet Jesus. Dear God. It's... And so, henceforward, forevermore, when I type that four-letter coital word and it turns it into duck, I'm going to understand why. Just the little things that come unbidden and interrupt our bliss. Let's see, adding to... adding to the attempt to knock out a bunch of the deficit this evening, thank you very kindly to Steve in New York. I just remembered that I owed you from a challenge, Matt. I'm sorry, I just remembered. No worries, friend. I'll get that over in short order. In addition, I'd like to offer a $25 challenge tonight. And says, I want to rename my $25 challenge. Given the fact that we just got the CDC's mask guidance as a road sign on the highway back to normal, and we would not be here had it not been for the Biden administration taking the distribution bull by the horns, I'd like to name my challenge the Thank You, President Biden $25 challenge. Well, thank you, Steve. And so that means that's 140. There's $140 in matching challenges on the table, and our pal... Rico, in DeBerg, has a note. Yikes, I know what the fundraising goal is. I'm putting up a $100 Great Day for America challenge to try to help out. I just found out that an IRS debt from many years ago, which had climbed to $25,000 due to the fund interest and penalties, had been pretty much wiped out. Woohoo! And since I'm fully vaxxed, I'm planning to spend the weekend licking as many doorknobs... Hat tip to Brad Friedman for that joke. So I'm feeling pretty good now. Come on, hornies. Let's get this deficit down. Signed, Rico into sunny, blessedly warmer Berg. And it was, yeah, well, I think we got all the way up to 67 degrees today. It's getting, and maybe finally, the warm stuff is coming. And I can't wait. I'm so eager for it. Thank you. Thank you, Rico. And so that we've got 240 now. And we're down to... 1040, so 480, if that's all met, that'd get us down to 660, is that right? No, 560. 560. Siphon flying. You know what? So that would knock out a couple of days of this week's broadcasting, and it'd be wonderful. Please don't let a matching challenge go by. Courtesy of our anonymous friend Joey and Giraffe, and Steve and Rico. So the thank you President Biden challenge is on the table. The instant gratification challenge is on the table. The when billionaires choose you lose challenge is on the table. And the get this deficit down challenge, Great Day for America challenge, is on the table. Thank you, one and all, for putting the offers forward. I cannot thank you enough. And hopefully they will be met in fairly short order. Well, so here we go. It is in fact Friday on the front porch. Let's check in with the Morans. It may be early. But they're the Morans you have always with you. And what I mean by that is, well, the gasoline is flowing again. I didn't have any problem gassing up the vehicle today. But by the same token, headline. And we've seen so many of these stories over the last few days. South Carolina woman hoarding gasoline catches on fire after crash. The Pickens County Sheriff's Office said the accident occurred Thursday after a deputy attempted to stop a vehicle with a stolen license plate. So let's just review. You steal the license plate, I guess, put it on your car so you can drive your car to the gas station to hoard gasoline to put in the car that you had to steal a license plate to drive. Got it. The accident occurred, according to the Pickens County Sheriff's Office, after a deputy attempted to stop a 2007 Pontiac G6 with a stolen license plate. Yeah. According to the Sheriff's Office statement, the driver of the Pontiac turned left onto Wolf Creek Road and accelerated the vehicle in an attempt to elude law enforcement. The deputy then activated his vehicle's siren. Before the deputy could complete radio traffic with the communication center, the driver of the Pontiac lost control of the vehicle, leaving the roadway and completely flipping the vehicle. There were then multiple explosions, could be heard coming from inside the car, and when the driver, identified as Jessica Gail Patterson, got out of the car, she too was on fire. I'm not laughing, you're not laughing, we're not that kind of people, but holy fuck. Or duck. Duck! The deputy pushed Ms. Patterson to the ground in order to put out the flames. Patterson, age 28, was taken to a hospital. Her condition was unknown as of earlier today. There were huge flames shooting into the sky from the car driven by this idiot. Oh, hey, come on, Robin. This is fear-based primate behavior. And it is much more to be pitied than laughed at. This is one of those moments that makes you feel like, you know, we're kind of on the way to a failed state if we're not already, you know, there. What? You've seen it. People putting plastic bags of gas. It beggars the mind. I wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. There's nobody in the Horn Family Community Congregation that would do that. Who the fuck would do it? Oh, wait, Trump voters. The same people who thought it would be a good idea to maybe drink a little bleach. Or, I don't know, stick a UV butt plug up their posteriors to, you know, kill the Rona. And it's a speaking of the Rona, it's a supposedly joyous day. We have now reached that portion in the pandemic where, or that part of that stage of the pandemic where, well, you know how they talk, the Republicans had their hissies about, you know, they're canceling Dr. Seuss and he's a great American. Of course, it wasn't true. Nonetheless, though, this whole business with the masks and who wears them and who doesn't and when you do and when you don't, it reminds me of the Sneetches.
which was not canceled, by the way. You can still get a copy of the Sneetches, and it might be handy in pondering where we are relative to the pandemic. The Sneetches are this group of Dr. Seuss creatures, and some of the Sneetches have stars on their bellies. And those are star-bellied Sneetches. And then the other Sneetches have no stars upon theirs. And the Sneetches with the stars on their bellies consider themselves to be, oh, ever so much more superior. I mean, it was an analogy for, racism, but don't tell the Republicans or the Trump voters, or otherwise they're liable to have a sad, and then they'll want to cancel Dr. Seuss, and we'll never be able to read the Sneetches again. It's amazing how Dr. Seuss introduced young people like me to environmental concepts, the Lorax, concepts of racism and equality, the Sneetches. And it still has resonance decades later. So a guy shows up, and I think you could probably do a scholarly paper on a comparison between Mark Twain's Mysterious Stranger and the guy who shows up with the star machine in the Sneetches, because this Mysterious Stranger shows up in the Sneetches, and what he does is the people with no stars upon NARS, well, he's capable, by virtue of his machine, of putting stars on bellies, thereby rendering the star-bellied Sneetches no longer elite. So then he offers to take the stars off the star-bellied Sneetches, and then it becomes fashionable and morally and ethically and socially and culturally superior not to have a star on your belly. And I guess that part of the fable has something to do with there are always people who will try to make a profit off of any social or cultural or political conflict. But that's where we are now. We are at the Sneetches portion of the pandemic, so that now, as our pal Joy in Ann Arbor pointed out, we've reached that stage where the people who are vaccinated and don't have masks on are actually the smart people. And I got a feeling somebody at the CDC read the Sneetches. That's all I'm saying. That's all. Yeah. And a little bit of good news. How about that? Jack informs me that the pictures of people with bags for gas in line for the pump were from 2019. That was according to some tweet or trending topic I saw this morning. I'm pretty sure it was about bags at the pump. Could be. It could be. I would not have any problem crediting that. But it does not change the fact that I've seen people filling every gas can they've got. And it doesn't change the fact that this story from Pickens County, South Carolina, was definitely not from 2019, but was, in fact, ripped from the pages of today's headlines. Careful doing that ripping. You wouldn't want to strike a spark because, well, that it already blew up once. And once again today, when I went to fill up the vehicle, every bay, or virtually every bay of the local Rippy Mart where I get gasoline, had a car at it. So people are still a little skittish. That's all. Yeah. Thank you very kindly to Henry. Henry jumping in on the fundraising for this evening. That means that Joey and Giraffe's Instagramification challenge is met. And we are now $10 into the When Billionaires Choose You Lose challenge. $90 to go on that. Then there's a $25 Thank You President Biden challenge. And the challenge courtesy of RICO, the Great Day for America challenge. So we're making progress. Thank you. Thank you, Henry. And Steve in New York pointing out, if it walks like a fuck and it quacks like a fuck, it's a funny thing.
I added text replacement to iPhone so that when I type fuck, it types fuck as opposed to changing it to duck. Except now, when I type duck, intending it to be duck, it changes it to fuck. Thanks, Obama. It's the thanks, Obama, that makes it hard. So they're blowing up gasoline in South Carolina. And there's other stuff out there, too. The happy news, good news. One of those proud moments. What a difference. What a difference an election makes. This is just so nice. Do you remember when where'd it go? There it is. Do you remember when Nitwit Nero said, and we're going to create a National Garden of American Heroes, and we're going to have statues of Ronald Reagan and Billy Graham and Rush Limbaugh. And he got out his executive order signing crayon, and he scrawled his name that looks like a bunch of little clan hoods. Well, that was all a response to states that were removing statues to traitors. And we'll have General Lee, he'll be there, and Stonewall Jackson. Highly ironic, by the way, the 13th, was it the 13th? Whatever day it was, that South Carolina was celebrating Confederate Memorial Day. Hoo-wee, them some stupid Confederates. South Carolina observed Confederate Memorial Day on the anniversary of the day that a Tar Heel soldier from North Carolina Stan shot and, as a result, killed one of the better traitors serving as a general in the Confederate Army. Yeah. South Carolina observed Confederate Memorial Day on the anniversary of the friendly fire incident that ended things for that wild-eyed religious maniac, Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson, whose mother is buried just about 2 miles from where I presently sit. Mm-hmm. Julia Beckwith Neal was her name. Wasn't any Stonewall in her name anywhere. But, not yeah, because brilliant. But he was going to have a sculpture garden. But today, according to a report from CNN and Kevin Liptak, Biden just officially revoked the executive order for the National Garden of American Heroes that Trump signed last year. It must be a challenge every day with the administration going through and going, okay, Joe with his order, sign, and pen, President Biden looking at me, what are we going to unfuck about America today? Oh, let's unfuck the statuary garden. Good idea. So I expect that, I don't know why I get Nitwit Nero's little daily musings. What this is it's a Save America pack. God, it's hilarious. This is the replacement for his Twitter feed. And so far today, beginning at 8:54 a.m., followed by another at 9:28 a.m., followed by another, because there was a little lunch and a little golf and whatnot. At 3:48 p.m., there was another, and then the latest one came in at, of course, 4:20 p.m. 4:20? Really? 4:20? But the best one, best is a relative term. I'm sorry, I laugh. I sit here and watch these things, and I realize how pathetic he is. It's kind of like after the Republicans elevated Elise Stupidnik to the head of the Republican House caucus. she got on bended knees, and that's not a sexual allusion. It is not at all. It's more of, you know, supplication and worship. She bowed down before COVID Caligula and promised that the Republican Party would work with President Trump. There's only one problem. Well, I mean, there's a lot of problems, but there's only one problem. He ain't president. She called him President Trump in an official capacity. So, you know, Jeffrey's journal, like I said, was kind of grim, but there's a certain amount of truth to it, because it is apparently now the official policy of the Republicans in the House of Representatives to deny the reality of the current occupant of the elected occupant of the White House, who won both the Electoral College and the popular vote. You know, Nitwit Nero ran for president twice and couldn't win the popular vote in either one, and only got the Electoral College thanks to some nasty-ass skullduggery on the first... Right. But it's pathetic the way that he grouses and grumbles from down there at Mar-a-Lard-ass.
Everyone is so tired of watching Karl Rove on Fox News.
Hey, finally, something I agree with Donald Trump on. Shit. Let me scoot over here before the lightning bolt gets me. But then again, I'm just tired of, and have been for about, let's see, what, 25 years? Fox News, TV, Radio, Rwanda. And aren't we all?
Everyone is so tired of watching Karl Rove on Fox News. He's played the game for decades, but all he and his buddies want to do is take your money and run.
Remember, every time Donald Trump complains about something that someone else is doing, he's projecting, and it's either something he's already done or is doing or plans to do. You know, the whole sort of grammatical space-time continuum thing.
All he wants to do is take your money and run. He's totally ineffective and does not represent the MAGA movement in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, he's been listening to Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, hadn't he? In no way, shape, form, or fashion.
He called me on the evening of November 3rd, election night, to congratulate me on my great win. When it was revealed the election was rigged and stolen, he flew the coop. Donate your money far more wisely at DonaldJTrump.org. Follow me on Etch-A-Sketch.
It really is that old joke about the guy buying the newspaper every morning, isn't it? Yeah. Hey, buddy, you buy a newspaper every day, and then you read the front page, and you fold it up, and you put it back, and I sell it again. What's up with that? I'm just looking to see if somebody died. Yeah, but the obituaries are like in the third section. No, 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 this son of a bitch is going to be on the front page. Mm-hmm.
You won't have Donald Trump to kick around anymore.
But we touched on some of that last night in conversation between Steve and Flavio and me. But it's been a very aggrieved day.
Congratulations to Elise Stupidnik for her big and overwhelming victory.
Big is capitalized and overwhelming.
Big and overwhelming. The House GOP is united, and the Make America Great Again movement is capital S strong.
I'm telling you. I betcha. He's thinking about being Speaker of the House. I know, I'm not trying to ruin dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. I'm really, really not, I promise. But can't you, just as we were talking about last night, can't you game that out and see that as a potential reality? You know, the Democrats do what Democrats do, and they all... And then they wake up long enough to say, yeah, but Joe Biden didn't give me a pony. And they stay home, and the Republicans take the House back, and they take the Senate, and...
I'm back. I always wanted to be a spooker of the House. Yeah. What do you mean I don't get to vote?
Well, you're not a member of the House.
I'm going to vote anyway. It's rigged. The voting in the House is rigged. The Speaker of the House has to be allowed to vote.
But sir, you're not a member. All right. And with the news that some of us don't have to wear our masks anymore. I'm still masking, by the way. Just, we don't have to.
Isn't it incredible that because of the vaccines, which I and my administration came up with years ahead of schedule, despite the fact that everybody, including Fauci, said it would never happen?
He didn't come up with any fucking vaccines? Jesus Christ, you couldn't even get him to put on a mask. How are you going to get him in a clean room?
That we no longer need masks, and yet our names are not even mentioned in what everybody is... Who's that
our COVID Caligula? You and that mouse in your pocket? What are you, Queen Victoria? I mean, we did see you in the kimono picture sitting there and laying there on the bed. And we saw you ogling Rudy in a dress. Man, rough on the dinner hour this evening.
Without the vaccines, this world would have been in for another 1917 Spanish flu, where up to 100 million people died. Because of the vaccines, we pushed and developed in record time. Nothing like that will be even close to happening.
You ever heard of India, Donnie, you dumbass? I mean, really, this is a giant case of shut the fuck up, Donnie. Shut the fuck up, Donnie. You don't even know what you're talking about. Shut the fuck up, Donnie. You're out of your element.
Just a mention, please.
Oh, really? A clap, please moment for Nitwit Nero?
The Biden administration had zero to do with it. All they did was continue our plan of distribution, which was working well from the beginning. No, it wasn't.
It so sincerely was not. At best, we would have been getting vaccinated sometime in goddamn January of 2022 if we weren't dead. And as pointed out, we would have tens of millions of deaths. It would have been a bigger global nightmare than it already is. Good God, the Nepalese government has started asking climbers on Everest to please not leave their oxygen bottles on the mountain as was the previous... custom, but to please bring them back down the mountain so they can be refilled and so that people, some people might be able to survive the virus that Donald Trump largely turned loose on the world. God almighty. And Nepal can't get oxygen from India because India doesn't have enough oxygen for its own people. Horror. And so he sits down there at Mar-a-Lardass, pouting. And I was going to say like Achilles in his tent, but no. Achilles was brave. Achilles was strong. This ain't Achilles. Yet more like Scarlett O'Hara pouting in her tent as Atlanta burns. Oh, by the way, Jack in Shreveport says, I got my second shot this morning. I got the Moderna. I thought it would behoove me to ask if one could say one is fully vaccinated only 4 weeks after the second shot, or are people saying that upon getting their second shot? You are fully vaccinated, but you are not fully immune, Jack. The immunity comes, what, 2 weeks later? Maybe with the Moderna, three? It was two. I got Pfizer, and Agnes and I became fully immune, or as immune as you can get, on the 15th day of April. That's 2 weeks past the second shot. At least that's my understanding. And of course, you know, for the whole time, when I was by myself out in the yard, I didn't wear a mask. There was nobody near me to spread it. But in social situations and in public and God knows in Wally World and Kroger's and Food Lion and such as the, and God knows the Rippy Marts. God, the Rippy Marts were, between that and churches, those were probably the single biggest spreaders because the fuckers would not enforce the mask mandate, and I'm still angry about it. Okay, so we are making progress on the When Billionaires Choose, You Lose challenge. Thank you, Arthur. Arthur has taken it down by so that we're at $80. Jude in the Great Northwest has taken the When Billionaires Choose, You Lose challenge down to $55. Thank you, Jude. Thank you so much, and thank you, Arthur. And we've got another challenge to add to the list, and that is the GOP Go Fuck a Duck Challenge, courtesy of Billable Rick. I'll match one of the existing challenges of $10 and make my own $10 GOP Go Fuck a Duck Challenge to be doubled upon satisfaction for a total contribution of $30. This Go Fuck a Duck Challenge is to dishonor the GOP's ongoing efforts to enact laws to prevent non-white people from voting so as to perpetuate the big lie that the election was somehow stolen from Trump, even though Mitch McTurtle won counties he never had won before. Susan Collins somehow trounced her opponent, and Lindsey smoldering Chode Graham won going away. By the way, the turtle that Starr recently found in the park looks remarkably like McConnell. Has he reported that his child is missing? Let's beat this deficit, fellow horned frogs. Hear, hear, Billable Rick, and thank you very much. And the Steve in New York asks, hey, Billable, don't you mean go duck a fuck? In our misspent youth, did any of us, am I the only one that ever played the game Fuzzy Duck? God, that was fun. Play it with shots of beer. And everybody has a shot in front of them, and it starts, and it goes clockwise, and it says, and the first person says Fuzzy Duck, and the next person says Fuzzy Duck. And somewhere along the way, somebody says Duzzy. And when somebody says Duzzy, you have to go back the opposite direction and say Ducky Fuzz, Ducky Fuzz, Ducky Fuzz. And somebody says Duzzy, and then it shifts again, and it's Fuzzy Duck, Fuzzy Duck. And whoever screws up, has to drink their shot of beer and fill up another one. And so what you wind up is eventually a bunch of twisted people saying fuck he does and does he fuck. This is a very F-bomb intensive Friday on the front porch so far. And by the way, it's always so funny when, because this is regular Fox, not Fox News that I'm talking about. They started a new program, and it's satire. And I saw a clip a week or so ago of a puppet Mitch McConnell, and it was hilarious. Absolutely delightful. I mean, I laughed until I hurt, because it all turned on, like, at one point in time, the reporter interviewing the Mitch McConnell puppet peered into the living room where Elaine Chao was sitting there, having tea with a bunch of Russians. And they eventually followed, and there were lots of allusions to turtles. And they eventually, he left, and eventually Mitch McConnell walks into this underground lair or whatever where there's a turtle that he begins to pet and stroke lovingly. Yeah. Okay, so that's the Go Fuck a Duck. GOP Go Fuck a Duck challenge is on the table as well. And so we are also down to $45 on the When Billionaires Choose, You Lose challenge. Thank you, Billable Rick. And we'll see. And as Billable Rick says, let's beat this deficit, fellow horned frogs. Horned frog. I like that. And Joy in Ann Arbor will like that in particular because she is a horned frog. She is a proud graduate of TCU in Fort Worth, Texas. Hope I'm not giving out secret information, but she's referred to her horned frog status in the past. Responding to Steve in New York, Billable Rick says, go duck a fuck. Brother Steve, only incels duck a fuck. Oh, it's going to be a long night. Jack in Shreveport, relative to immunity, says, I asked the guy that gave me the shot how long until it would be effective. He said 50% after 2 weeks and 100% after 4 weeks. That's Moderna. Pfizer, you're at 100% after 2 weeks, or at least that's what I was told. Yeah, there's... And by the way, apparently, Elise Stefanik... No, I'm sorry. Marjorie Trader Greene Cucumber has found herself a good hustle. She has now moved on after, and she's continuing to tweet at AOC, and AOC refuses to dignify it with a response, and I think that's the correct, yeah. By the way, Randy Radar says, in my high school, it was always go suck a duck. Well, it's just the natural nature to rhyme vulgarities. It's, you know, juvenile and delightful. So, Marjorie Trader Greene Cucumber has now continued to sick her staff on other members of Congress. Remember, they went after Cori Bush, and Cori Bush had to move. A black woman had to move out of Marjorie Trader Greene Cucumber's neighborhood. Or we heard that before. In the actual House, in the Capitol, Eric Swalwell, Democrat from California, put on his mask, having walked out of the House, at which point this neo-maxi Zoom dweeby little prick, Marjorie Trader Greene Cucumber's spokes creep, Nick Dyer, hollered at Representative Swalwell, Biden says you can take off your mask. Well, Eric Swalwell is not AOC, and that's no, I'm not commenting or casting any aspersions toward AOC, I'm not. But he took a different tack. And so, Representative Swalwell, an actual oath-sworn member of the House of Representatives, turned on this little prick, Nick Dyer, and went up to him, got in his face, and said, you don't tell me what to fucking do. And then jumped on Twitter and said, I had a mask on as I stepped off the floor. An aide with MT Green yelled at me to take my mask off. No one should be bullied for wearing a mask, so I told the bully what I thought of his order. Predictably, he went speechless. I regret I wasn't more explicit. Well, would that be... So, for the constitutional scholars out there, had Representative Swalwell punched this little fuckwit in the face and then proceeded to stomp his guts in, not suggesting that he should have, but if he had done that, would that fall within the speech and debate clause or the protected going to or coming from rule? And because Marjorie Trader Greene Cucumber is an idiot, she then accused Representative Swalwell of chasing her little spokes creep. No, he just turned around and walked right up to him and said, you don't tell me what to fucking do. And so I agree wholeheartedly with Steve in Georgia, or Steve in New York, who says Eric Swalwell, cowbell recipient. Absolutely, that's definitely... Because, you know, you need a blended approach to this kind of thing. Some people you don't dignify with the response, but when someone who isn't even a member of the House comes up and starts trying to shove around a member, somebody like Eric Swalwell, who I believe is a veteran, is likely to turn around, come up, get in your face, and make you wonder if you were about to get a stomping that you ever so richly deserve. And so, at least for my part, I applaud the restraint that Representative Swalwell demonstrated in not stomping a mud hole in, what's his name, Nick Dyer. But Marjorie Trader Green Cucumber is a professional victim. Stop lying, Jamie.
Eric Swalwell chased my staffer into the Capitol, cornered him, and exploded in anger inches from his face. This occurred in front of the Capitol police and reporters. Stop lying, Jamie. Jamie Dupree. Not only is Representative Marjorie Traitor Green Cucumber verbally harassing Democrats, but now her spokesman is yelling at lawmakers in the hallways of the Capitol. This is getting so 1840, it's not funny. And it's not, I mean, we look at the, and look, I remember way early in this program, in the history of this program, I would sit and watch Question Time in the House of Commons over in merry oldie Engeland. And it seemed, it was raucous and lively and, you know, occasionally some backbencher would holler at W's poodle, Tony Blair, "Ah, bugger off! Shut your gob!" You know, something like that. And we all thought it was good fun. And we thought, you know, wouldn't it be fun if we did that in our House of Representatives? Wouldn't that just be... Well, it turns out it's not such good fun after all. That these rules were put in place, these rules of decorum were put in place, and these rules of debate were put in place because we do have, you know, because it's the United States of America, and anytime you talk about the history of the United States of America, you're going to be talking about our history of violence. Our Congress has an unabashedly violent history. Beatings, knife fights, stabbings, duels over across the line in Maryland. Gunplay in the well of the House. And it was not good for this country. And it is not good for this country. And so at some point in time, until she is dealt with, Marjorie Traitor Green Cucumber is going to try to get something started. She's looking. I don't want to be right about this. I hope I am not. But I get the sense that she's looking for a reason to pull a gun. She wants to stand her ground in the halls of Congress and claim that she was threatened by another member, a Democrat, and that she just had to shoot them. This is what happens when the National Ruble Association gets its fondest wishes. This is what they wanted for America. They wanted this kind of chaos. This is not accidental. This is planned. This is a setup. And they're probably, she's probably, Marjorie Traitor Green Cucumber, trying to find somebody that will take the bait, and she will then pull a gun and blow them away. Darlene in Connecticut says Marjoram Traitor Gangrene is not just a professional victim. She's a ducking, autocorrect, chronic liar, just like her orange idol. So true. Pathological. Yeah, that's the ticket. Morgan Fairchild. Yeah, I think, but at some point in time, they're going to, but right now, there is no price to be paid by the Republican Party for having her in their ranks. So, ugh, yeah. But I'm telling you, and I mean, it's not a mark my words thing. She's looking for a reason to draw down. And I hope I'm wrong. But I would say that it will happen before the year is out. Will she pull the trigger? That depends entirely on whether she thinks she can get away with it. Steve in New York says, Nick Dyer and Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cucumber says, these events tell us fundamentally that these fuckers have cornered the market on cowardice. Yeah, Steve, but like I said, they're planning something.
here I go, says Silent R. Lamar. Okay, since I like to be different, odd, as some say, I had COVID, as you know, but here's where I differ. I'm going to get my first shot in my butt cheek in the left side because I sit all damn day. With the shot, I'll have to stand, and I don't stand for much. I don't stand for much, LOL. That's quality. That's cowbell worthy. Thank you, Lamar. Thanks for the cartoons, Jude. Trump's fog of lies.
I'm the least racist person in the world.
You know, as he marches with the Klan. Right. All right, so let me get a message to Sparky right quick. And so here shortly we will go to the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable. We are, in fact, connected. And we have entered the second hour of the program. We've got 45 bucks to go on the When Billionaires Choose You Lose challenge. And after that, there's the Thank You, President Biden challenge and the Great Day for America vaccine challenge, courtesy of Rico. And then the GOP Go Fuck Yourself, Go Fuck a Duck challenge. And that would get us a long way toward clearing out this week. Not all the way, but if we knock those things out quickly, we've got a fighting chance for an actual community-made miracle to fully fund the entire week, and that would take a tremendous weight off my mind. I do. I worry. I can't help it. I want, you know, but here we are. Let's go over and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Robin.
How's the cool air-conditioned comfort there of not the man cave?
Oh, it's just lovely, fine.
So where is this fire of which you speak?
I don't know. I can't find any information about it. All I know is I walked outside and I could smell it, and then I looked at the foothills and it all was getting smoky and I look up at the Tuscan Buttes where all the TV transmitters are, and it's all kind of gray and hazy. But I didn't walk out to see if I could see glass. And
kind of odd that, so is there some sort of threshold that Cal Fire follows that, you know, they don't mention it until it gets to a certain intensity?
I don't know. It may be. They only report certain times of day. I don't know. Or put it on their site.
Well, I hope it doesn't turn into a thing.
Well,
how dry are y'all right now?
Dry. What is scary is they're predicting thunderstorms tonight and tomorrow night.
Yeah, where you might on the one hand think, oh, good, rain. The other part of it is, oh, shit, lightning.
Yep, that's the oh, shit part.
Ugh, be nice if you could just get a nice soaking rain.
I wanted to guess what I got in the mail. Well, it wasn't addressed to me, but I got a letter addressed to my dead mother, who's been gone since 2013, from Governor Ron DeSantis.
Really? Of Florida?
Of Florida, yeah.
And that's not Florida. I mean, there's a Florida, Missouri, but there's no Florida, California, is there? There's a California, Missouri.
It's a foreign letter, you know. But it's got his name on the letterhead. It's four pages.
No shit.
And then there's a survey.
Well, what does Ron Monkey Up DeSantis want?
Mm-hmm. Well, he said the left is currently doing everything they can to take these God-given rights away from you. And it isn't an accident. He's got these rights checked. Your right to speak your mind. Your right to practice your faith. Your right to protect and defend your home and family. Your right to own and operate a business. Your right to educate your child. On behalf of the Republican National Committee, I'm asking loyal Republicans across America, are you okay with that? Take the survey, you know. But it should go down for four pages of stuff. And his signature is on the end of the letter.
Holy crap. I wonder why they selected Monkey Up.
I don't know.
I don't mean this in any way whatsoever, but was your mom a Republican voter?
Well, yeah. They switched parties years ago.
Okay. Yeah, when Fox went on the air?
Yeah, basically.
Jesus.
Anyway, I've gotten stuff from them, the Republicans before. And there's always a postage paid envelope in there. So I sent them back. Are you suckers so dumb that you keep sending mail to a dead person?
So they'll at least it costs them to get it. Yes. Good. Yeah.
I mean, shit, her name was off the voter roll. At least within the first week after she died.
Jesus. So this is just an old list on the Republican side of things.
I guess.
Ugh.
I don't get any address to my dad or lately anyway. Every once in a while I get a letter for one of them or an ad thing.
Ugh. Sleazy business. Well, I have a story here y'all might find interesting. We've talked quite a bit, Sparky, about the one asshole who was carrying a Confederate flag through the Capitol of the United States during the insurrection. Remember him?
Yes.
That's Kevin Seafried. And his son, Hunter, was also charged in the attack on the Capitol. And so they're facing charges, but well, that maggot privilege is some kind of privilege, Sparky. They're charged with violent entry and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds, unlawfully entering a restricted building, and even though there's video of them carrying his Confederate flag, they got bonded out, and now the judge in charge of their case has told them, sure, it's okay. You want to go on a family vacation? Why not? I mean, you love America. You only tried to overturn our constitutional form of government. Go on a road trip to Salvo, North Carolina. No kidding, Salvo of all places. Salvo, North Carolina. Go there on May 15th and come on back home to Delaware on May the 22nd. Yeah,
didn't that real estate agent from Texas do the same thing? That woman.
Well, I think she got to go. Was she from Texas, California?
Texas.
One of them got to take a Mexican vacation or some such.
Yeah.
But I think the most galling part of this story is the paragraph that says no prosecutor objected. How do you not object? And what the hell is in Salvo, North Carolina? Oh, they're going to the beach. Salvo Beach.
Oh, how nice. A little beach trip for an insurrectionist. Right there along the Outer Banks. Well, isn't that just lovely?
You see that email I sent you?
Yeah.
There's a little blurb in there with Mitch McConnell on Fox News. I have Mike shaking my head. I don't know if you've listened to it.
I haven't played it. No. Let's see. Let me see if I can. Mitch McConnell gets caught off guard when Fox News grills him over GOP support for Trump election lies. This looks fun. This is Fox News TV, and even it didn't go well for McConnell there. Let's roll the audio.
I'm going to try one more time. Since April 24th, fundraising emails from Republicans have mentioned the former president 97 times, an average of more than 5 times a day. You're saying the focus is not on the past, but you're using the former president's name, and Republicans are, to raise money for 2022.
Well, look, each individual candidate is going to use whatever appeal they think works to try to raise money.
Yeah.
I'm not in the money-raising business. I'm in the Senate business. Yeah. And what we're trying to here is to make some progress for the country.
I have one more thing, 15 seconds. How has President... I'm going to try one more time. Since April 24th, fundraising emails.
Was that the part that crawled on you like fire ant, Sparky? The I'm not in the money-raising business, I'm in the Senate business?
It's the part that says, well, I'm making progress for this country.
Once again, no lightning bolt. I think my theory stands. I'm in the Senate business. Yep. Ah, let's see. Let me send out some thank yous. Jessica says, I haven't been around much lately. The last 6 to 7 months have been rife with external drama, and it's taken its toll on me, Robin. But you and the Horn family congregation have provided me with a good deal of levity during the interim. And since humor comes in threes, I offer a humor in threes challenge. I'm throwing $3 into the pot. It gets matched by the Horn community, and I toss in three more. Thanks for the laughs and the high points, everyone. There's a light in the tunnel ahead and brighter days ahead. Or a freight train. We'll have to see. Well, thank you, Jessica. Thank you so much. And so if somebody will kick in $3, then Jessica will add in three more, and we'll be down to $36. $36 to go on When Billionaires Choose, You Lose challenge. And then George, thank you, George, has taken us down to, so we'll have to recalculate there. George took us down to $20 to go. And so if Jessica's challenge is met, it'll take us down to 11. So thank you. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you, George. Thank you so very kindly. By the way, Randy Radar pointing out, all the AG would have to do is investigate the sex lives of Congress members, and he'd dethrone about a third of the Republicans and probably a few Democrats, too. Unfortunately, it's probably true. Sparky Earther heard your story about Ron Monkey up DeClantis's letter to your mom. Dear Sparky's mom, I'm in a terrible predicament, and I need access to my $4 million, which is locked up in frozen accounts. If I can't pay the $4,000 fee, I will forfeit my cash. So naturally, I remembered you. If you could help with the fee, I'll give you $500,000. Please forward a Xerox of one of your money checks to Ron Death Sentence. That's what it boiled. Yeah. The Republican Party has turned into a Nigerian prince. God almighty.
I forgot what the amounts are. You know, they...
Was that a cowbell for the comment?
I think it is billable, Rick. And Mark in Florida reminds us that Matt Gaetz, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, he has pleaded guilty and he will cooperate with the feds. He was facing 33 counts for crimes including sex trafficking of a child and wire fraud. And he pleaded guilty to a whole slew of federal crimes, billable Rick, today, including sex trafficking of a child. And he it was announced in court that he will cooperate in ongoing investigations.
Hey,
all right. Yeah, it just gates better.
There you go. That was actually Joel Greenberg who played Matt Gaetz.
Right. It's Joel Greenberg. It's Gaetz's horn dog buddy.
He's a he's the treasurer of Seminole County.
Right.
And he created this scheme to make phony IDs that were then used in the sex trafficking operation for teenage girls, basically, is what they did. You know, like an escort kind of operation, I think it was.
Well, in the plea deal, there was some rather specific language. He agrees to testify that he introduced a child, quote, to other men who engaged in commercial sex acts with the minor in the Middle District of Florida.
Oh, boy.
But that's men plural, not man singular, Billable.
Oh, yeah, this was a whole ring. Yeah. Gaetz was just one of the people who did this. There's... you know, what I understand they did is they used one of these online money deals, and they didn't encrypt it so you could actually see.
Yeah, Venmo.
You know, if you Venmoed somebody, you would have to actually be able to see those transactions. They were not kept private. So what idiots, you know? There's a lot of people going down. Literally, if not metaphorically as well.
Well, as we often say, I hope it didn't hurt too little.
It seems the Gaetz scandal is going on a little too long, though, don't you think? I mean, it's like hasn't this been like the second month since the revolution?
Yeah, but Otto, when you're talking about lots and lots and lots of kitty sex, I'm okay with it taking time. I want it to take a lot of time.
Right. They got to prep. The
I want, you know, the indictment for Greenberg was 86 pages long, 33 counts, something like that.
Oh, wow.
And so at least in theory, it could get every bit as interesting for, it'll only Gaetz better.
Mm-hmm. Took me a while.
Oh, did that one just catch up with you, or you caught up with it? It only Gaetz better.
I'm a little slow. I haven't had lunch yet, and my blood sugar's dropping. So I munch on peanuts, but peanuts is a staple to keep your blood sugar even. It gets kind of tiresome after a while. So you really have to. I have to eat. I find I have to eat a little animal protein once every 48 hours to feel better. But some meats have choline, and choline is supposed to be really good for your liver. It reduces fat. So I'm studying about how to get my less fat out of my liver. But I can't seem to lose more weight than what I can right now. I've lost about 40 pounds in the past 2 years, and that's it. So,
yeah, well, that's a good record, though.
Yeah, but you become obsessed with the weight loss once you start losing. And I've been in and out of keto, and I tell you, when you're in full keto, you do nutty stuff. You don't think straight. Your thinking is really muddled. They talk about the keto flu. So, but I just wanted to say one of the reasons why I logged on is my films are now public. They've been digitized.
I saw your message, and I didn't know quite how to describe it. Would you please?
Yeah. Yeah, I just say it's the name of the show is Parody is the Sincerest Form of Flattery, and it's about 60 minutes of comedy short subjects. I like to call it the Tim Smith Film Festival, but I'm thinking of changing my nom de plume permanently to Otto Dashad. So I talk like James Mason or Stephen Ray like this all the time now that I'm becoming a world famous filmmaker.
I think that would be fine. I've known you as Otto Dashad for quite some time.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Tim Smith is so bland. It's kind of it's kind of mediocre. So Otto Schott is a good name, but if you say it quickly enough, it sounds like Otto de Schott, which is what the character is. I'm thinking of making a making another film, but I play the main character. I play this kind of condescending film guy. And it would be kind of like sort of autobiographical, because I worked in the film business for 6 years, and you always bump into people like that in the media. There's always some guy, and it doesn't matter who they are, but they think they have an edge over you, and that's the kind of character I want to play. But he's like really condescending. He talks like this all the time. He says, "Well, dearest, you know, could you go get me a cup of coffee? I really don't want to talk to you right now." So that's the sort of attitude he has. But it's kind of loosely based on my experiences working in film business in post-production from 1981, or actually 1979 to 1986. It's called Ramparts of Disgust, which is a great film title because it's a bad film title. it's almost as good as a film I worked on in New York called Handguns Are Not the Answer for the New York Police Department. I did 2 years in New York paying my dues in post-production film from 82 to 84. But anyway, if you go to the Anthology Film Archives, you can see the link to my films, and they're available to watch between now and 24th of May without having to pay a donation or a fee.
Okay, so what is the address?
It's anthologyfilmarchive.org.
Okay, anthologyfilmarchive, just like it sounds, .org.
.org, and you can watch my films. Titles include The Case of the Kitchen Killer, This is Portland. They're all parodies of films. I have two parodies of travelogues, Infernal Voyage, Trip with My Folks in France, 13 Minutes. But, you know, films that should make you laugh, and that's what we kind of need right now.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, there's just so much depressing news. I can't watch the news anymore. I can't watch mainstream news. I get so depressed. It's what's omitted, which pisses me off. But you'll enjoy the films, and I just got off the phone about a few hours ago with journalist The Oregonian. So we're going to have a big premiere when COVID restrictions are reduced here in town. But they're all 16-millimeter color, black and white, with monotrack optical. I got out of – the last film I made was 1982, so it's been 38 years. So my past is catching up with me. So I'm been kind of pumped. So I've got all kinds of film ideas and hope that this will give me leverage for financing for other films like the one I just mentioned.
Well, I hope it works out that way for you too.
Yeah. But it's you know, I gave up on the film business. I got sick of the people. I just got sick of the arrogance and the BS. And the last major film I worked on was a documentary series called West of the Imagination. The guy who produced that was David Kennard. And this is the type of guy he was. He was British, and he had a girlfriend in every port from West Coast to London. But he talked like this, and he would look at me in this condescending look. And so he's kind of like the character I want to do. But it's just this false sense of superiority I got so pissed off with. And here we are. And producers always do that when you're working on a soundtrack. They give you a production timeline that you can't meet. You know, soundtracks take up to 3-4 weeks sometimes. And if you're cutting 16 millimeter, you have to go have the tracks transferred to the mag track and then cut it. This is all pre-digital. But I left the business because everything was going online. They were talking about a montage editing system back in 86. And I didn't want to have to go through a new apprenticeship for that. And so I just said, I threw the towel in and left the business. But I always regretted the fact that I didn't make any more films. I do have one film that has not been cut yet, or AB rolled to set up as a print, but it's a 16-millimeter black and white footage, like about 1,000 feet of me wandering around Monmouth, Oregon, chasing cows. We did a spoof of Duduva, which is a Swedish angst film. Actually, Duduva came out in the 70s. It's a
Wait. Did you say hold on? No. You can't say things. Did you say Swedish ox film?
No, Swedish angst film.
Okay. Because you said you were chasing cows, and I was like, well, okay, it's Oregon, so cattle. It's not Swedish oxen. No, angst. Well, okay.
I finally find my maid of honor, but it's this Ross talk, I never cut it. It's sitting in a can. I've been talking to these people. It says, well, this should be my next project and add it to the list. But we the soundtrack, the voiceover is like this. It'd be like a really heavy Swedish accent on English. Somebody talking like, then we went down to the river and I saw my maiden of choice. That's the kind of voice that we had.
A friend of mine, dear God, Otto.
But it's a, but if you, have you ever seen Duva? It's a Swedish film. It's a satire of Bergman, and it's hilarious. It's this guy walking around. He's lost, you know. But so we kind of imitated that film. It was a short film. It was like a trailer in movie houses in the late 70s.
God, I love this radio community. I love this radio community. Swedish angst parodies. I guarantee you. I fucking guarantee you. I don't care if it's Joe Rogaine and his gajillion listeners. Nobody's talking about Swedish angst parody on the. And, no, nobody. Not one. Only here, damn it.
Well, but humor is a cool thing if you know how.
Well, yeah, to you actually had me at ox. At ox, you know, the ox part, because oh no.
But I'm telling you, one of the funniest comedies I've seen in the past 10 years is Trey Parker, Matt Stone, the team America World Police. It's so hilarious when they blow up Paris to get rid of the terrorists, you know.
Yeah, right. America, fuck you. And by the way, Arthur just earned himself a cowbell here. The Angst of the Ox was my favorite Swedish death metal band.
Oh, cool!
The Angst. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, 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 moo.
Can I tell you something about being Scandinavian? I'm half Scandinavian. You don't want to be half Scandinavian because we suffer from terrible depression all my life, up and down mood swings. You heard of the girl with the flaxen hair?
Yes.
You know, yeah. So that's the melancholia you suffer from. So now I take my depression, I turn it into humor, and that's why I'm into humor, because I'm always blue all
well,
the time.
Well, you're not blue. I mean, it's not like Babe the Blue Ox or anything. Or I mean, you're not. You're referring to depression, not. Because, see, in Appalachia, there were these people with these recessive genes, and they were known as the blue people of Kentucky. They really were blue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Isolated, inbred, sorry, way the hell up a holler. And they were being written about, you know, mid-20th century up into the 60s, 70s, I think. You can look them up, you know, the blue people. The blue people of Kentucky. Thank you very kindly for that, Otto. You never disappoint. I had a note from Matt in San Francisco. Oh, come on now. Republicans involved in a child sex trafficking ring. This tax collector story just keeps on giving. I wonder how many Republican officials will be caught up in this one. If only this could get the attention of the pizza basement without a basement story. No kidding. You know, I mean, so here you've got an actual pedophile child sex trafficking ring run by Republicans. And I wonder, you know, and you know, the cue balls won't say shit about this. They will be as quiet, as silent as a graven image. What? Oh, see, no, Q done told us that they made that up to make Republicans look bad, but they're going to get Hillary Clinton because she wear baby faces. Baby face, you got the cutest little baby face. No singing! But we are down to, let's see, $11 to go on the When Billionaires Choose, You Lose challenge, so that could be wrapped up rather quickly, and then we will move on to the Thank You, President Biden challenge, and it's a marathon, not a sprint. But you talk about your Scandinavian heritage. Our pal Jessica, whom we just heard from a little bit ago, she is almost, if not 100%, Scandinavian, Norwegian, and talked at length about what that means one evening. So you have at least one. You've got at least one, well, not fellow, but a kindred spirit, I guess, would be a good term. Let's bounce around a little bit. I see our buddy John from Central PA is in the room. Haven't heard from him in a while. How you doing, John?
Oh, I'm good, Robin. How are you? How's everybody doing today?
The sun was out. It almost got warm. You know, middle of May, almost.
Yeah, it's really nice here too today. I mean, real nice. It actually got. You're right. Almost warm is probably a good way to describe it. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess you probably could maybe might have noticed that I'm a little pissed off.
I got that impression. You're a little head up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, basically, I'm just sick of the double standard. And the double standard isn't just an annoying thing. It's a real, like, it just shows you that, like you said before, like it could be a sign of a failed state, basically. Like the fact that we got two parties, one's in power, one is not, one is just clearly, just openly diabolical and tyrannical. I mean, they're tyrants. That's what they are. They're tyrants. They want to take our freedoms so that they can worship at the altar of this stupid subhuman. I mean, it's not even human. I'm sorry. I mean, the thing that we call Trump, it's not human. I mean, it isn't. I mean, to me, it's lower than maggot shit. I know it's not a good liberal, not a very progressive thing to say, but you know, I think that it's ruining this country. I mean, it ruined this country. I mean, it really did. It sent this country into absolute chaos, and now we're dealing with like how Democrats basically we have to act like mature adult human beings, and when we do something wrong, we have to say, okay, we apologize. But when they get to do whatever they want to, and the media allows it to happen, and I've been kicking furniture left and right. You know, the whole thing about letting this traitor to our country go on a vacation and stuff, when I can't even go on a vacation. I can't go on vacation. You know, I haven't been on a vacation in years and years because I can't afford it. I'm too busy working my ass off for nothing.
Yeah, but the Confederate who marched his Confederate devil's diaper through the Capitol, he's going to the beach in North Carolina. John, aren't you happy? Doesn't that just make you want to sing some Lee Greenwood?
Right. And it gets to a point now where, you know, I feel like I hate my country, but I know I don't, because like tomorrow I'm planning on taking a trip down to Washington, D.C. for the first time ever. So I don't know if there's a place down there where I can park for cheap or free.
Okay. Well, you want to, can I offer a little help?
Yeah, please.
It's probably the cheapest day parking, and it's central to the metro, and that means you can get around town. Park at Union Station. Last I checked, it's 24 bucks a day.
Okay, that's not bad. It's like
it's not like trying to park in Philly. Jesus Christ, that was crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I just want to see the sights and stuff, and it's gonna be a nice day, and I, you know, a day off, you know, obviously, and you know, I want to go down there, and I've never been to, I want to see like Ford's Theater. I want to see like what's it called, the House of the Peterson House too. You know, I don't know if I'll be able to go in there or anything like that, but I probably got to pay to go.
It all depends on what's going on with COVID. The best bargains in D.C., John, are the museums of the Smithsonian, because they're all just walk in. They're free.
Oh, really? And yeah. Do you think it's going to be open on Saturday, though?
If it's open at all, it's open on Saturday. Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, when we were living there for a month and a half, sometimes at a time, we had an apartment up on Capitol Hill, literally right across from the Supreme Court in the Capitol. And I loved nothing better on a weekend than to just stroll down the hill and go into the National Gallery of Art. I mean, there's the only painting by Da Vinci in the Western Hemisphere is there.
Ooh.
There are Rembrandts. There are Dutch masters. There's a couple of Raphaels. My particular niche favorite, he was a Venetian painter ahead of his time, died in the plague. And it's, oh God, what's his name now? I've lost it. Chris in Germany will have to remind me after she hears the podcast.
Titian?
No. Actually, Titian picked up where he left off when he died of the plague. Oh God damn it. Let me just go look. Let me ask Mr. Google. It's not like it's difficult.
Talking about Amsterdam, the Reichsmuseum.
Giorgione. I didn't even have to ask Mr. Google. Giorgione. Giorgione. There's some of those. There are Titians. They've got Byzantine iconography from the early Greek church. John, if you're an art lover, you'll go absolutely wild.
Yes.
Absolutely. And they're the Museum of Natural History's fun. If you get on the metro and go out to Dulles, the National Air and Space Museum is just fantastic.
Damn.
And it's all fucking free. It's all free.
Nice. Yeah.
And the other thing, I mean, if you're going to be there for more than a day, go out. The National Zoo is a beautiful stroll.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's going to be for a different day. I'm just taking a basic.
Yeah, because some of the stuff, I mean, like Ford's Theater's cool, but depending on what, I don't know what tourist foot traffic is like in D.C. right now, but most of the times when I was there in warm weather, the line was around the block to get into Ford's Theater.
I'm sure, yeah, it will be, I guess.
But
it will be
over by Ford's Theater is also the National Portrait Gallery.
Awesome. I want to see that stuff. I mean, I've never been there before at all. Not even, well, I think I passed through there before, but not ever got out and looked at the sites and things like that. And that's why I guess I still love this country, because I want to go down and see all that stuff. But, you know, other stuff I'm obviously very mad about. I think we're in a lot of trouble. Like, I hate to be a negative.
No, I think, no, John, I think you're right.
Like, I mean, it's scary. It's frightening. And the thing is, we have not just a moral duty, not just a patriotic duty, but a global duty to keep these tyrants from getting their way. Because if they get their way, the whole world's going to know that we're not a democracy anymore. And the rest of the world's going to fall into the democracy will be basically obsolete, I feel like. Because I think all the other countries will get taken over by the same type of fascist. And when you have this woman, Elise Stefanik, refer to the former president like he's the current president, and then not even say President Biden, but she said Joe Biden right at in the same sentence that she said President Trump. I mean, that just makes I just want to kick furniture so hard over that. You know, I mean, it's like Flavio said last night. It's downright diabolical, you know, and a person like her is intelligent. She's because what, Harvard or whatever, you know, I mean,
as far as I'm concerned, John, she's just further proof of the decadence of the Ivy League when it comes to issues surrounding economics, business, finance, labor. I mean, they're really, really good, the Ivy Leagues when it comes to, and not just the Ivies, but like, you know, MIT and whatnot, Caltech. They're great with the sciences. They absolutely blow donkey balls when it comes to economics or anything that has to do with working people, because you know they're so far removed from the working class. They really are, you know, without getting all maggoty, they really are a disconnected elite.
Yep, they are.
Robin?
Yes, Steve.
Then how do you explain John Kenneth Galbraith, who was an MIT economist?
I explained that by suggesting that that was a generation ago. The stuff that's come out of and particularly the Harvard School of Business.
Well, but yeah, I agree with you. Well, I think any business school is garbage. I don't care where you are,
because it's all dedicated to the money and not the people who produce the money. So
yeah, I would agree. I don't know. I have no idea. I realize this. I have a way different take than an awful lot of people here in the community on this stuff.
How so?
You know, when I hear people talk about trickle down economics, it just gets my ire up because there's no such thing.
Even David Stockton said that he eventually got around to confessing that that was simply a fraud that was perpetrated on the American people.
No, but what I'm saying is there's no such, it doesn't exist. It's just it's marketing. It has nothing to do with economics. Economics, at least in market-based economics, you have supply and demand, and you know, in some instances, supply drives demand, and in other instances, demand drives supply. That's not the issue. That's not the question to ask. The question to ask is what's the goal of a market economy? It's market efficiency. It's the market coming to the what's called the market clearing price. What is the price at which those who demand will pay, and what's the price at which suppliers will sell? That's the price that it comes to, and that clears the market. for some things, you don't want the market determining how resources or services are allocated. Healthcare is not some. We should not base healthcare on a market economy, because we don't. You know, the goal is not the efficient operation of the market. The goal is everybody or as many people as possible. You're never going to get everybody. You know, the cost of something is subordinated to people's access to it. It's the same. You know, it's how telecommunications was in the U.S. You know, during Ma Bell. If it were purely market-driven, then an awful lot of places in this country never would have had it. But the focus was not on clearing the market. The focus was on providing everyone with something, however we had to do it, whether that's government subsidies, whether that's, you know, the profitable markets subsidizing the non-profitable markets. That's not a market economy. Those are the real questions. The question is not, you know, trickle down versus whatever. That's marketing. That has nothing, zero, nada, zilch to do with economics. I lament the fact that most people have no clue when they hear the word economics. They don't know what that means. You know, they don't know what supply and demand means. And supply and demand is very simple, you know. And let me just say something about me. I don't know what it was about my brain, but I found supply and demand and economics so unbelievably intuitive. When I was in college, I remember I would walk outside and I'd look at the guy selling hot dogs, and I saw a supply and demand curve. That's how it was intuitive to me. But that's why I get very very perturbed when I hear these political marketing terms like trickle down economics or whatever, because no economist uses that term because it doesn't mean anything. How you structure a particular market, the first question you have to ask is, what is the goal? Is the goal an efficient clearing of the market of services or goods, or is the goal providing as many people as possible with something? And then you go for, then you move from there, because if the goal is the second thing, a market economy is never going to do it.
No, by definition, it won't.
It's not conducive to that.
I tried taking economics, and it just, well, maybe I'm part Scandinavian, too, because it just depressed me. Oh, and by the way, Jessica chimed in. Otto, you do have you do have a fellow sympathizer, not fellow, but a sympathizer. Jessica confirmed to me she is 7/8 Norwegian and 1/8 1/8 German, and she added parenthetically Prussian. So
that's good.
That's a,
does she suffer from depression? Did she mention?
Well, I mean, she lives up in the north of Minnesota in the greater Rochester co-prosperity sphere. So I will leave that to her to answer.
Well, my grandparents are my Scandinavian grandparents come from Minneapolis. That's where they immigrated to. My grandfather was Norwegian. My grandmother was Swedish. She always kind of dissed him. Swedes think the Norwegians are sort of like
Scandinavian hillbillies.
Yep. Yeah, they think they're hicks.
Yeah, everybody looks down on... It's like the Germans looking down on the Swabians.
Yep.
By the way, I had a question from our pal George. George says, ask Otto if he ever saw The Big Picture with Kevin Bacon, one of the funniest satires about Hollywood ever made.
Oh, wow. I'm going to write that down.
The Big Picture, Kevin Bacon.
Cool.
Oh, and I had a note... from our buddy Glenn in San Diego. The power of Liz and old 666. Just a small contribution on my part to your conversation last night with Flavio and Steve in New York. I love all you peeps. Regarding Liz Cheney, the puppet masters of the Republican Party and the power of Donald Trump. I don't get around this country much anymore, but I do move around one of the most populated regions a bit, and that's Southern California. Most of the Republicans I know around here or have occasion to engage in conversation are not MAGA maniacs. Most, it seems, have very little to no respect for Donald Trump. Some of them now choose to call themselves independents, though they seem to have always voted and always will vote Republican. Like Trump, they may be racist, though they won't admit it. Like Trump, they may be misogynistic, though they won't admit that, except for the anti-abortion part. They spout a shitload of excuses for having voted for Trump, mostly involving their hatred of Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi, their abhorrence of taxes and regulation, as well as their total disdain for the tax-and-spend liberal Democratic Party in general. Unlike Donald Trump, however, they do seem to have an ideology. They aren't able to explain it very well most of the time, and they certainly don't get their facts straight when trying to do so, but at its core is Reaganism. They pine for the return of the party of Ronald Reagan, not having any awareness, of course, that it was old 666 himself who rolled away the stone and released the Kraken that became the Republican Party of today. My God, wait a minute. Yeah, that's cowbell. Rolled away the stone and released the Kraken. That's beautiful. Like most Americans, they live outside the bubble. Many of them don't have a lot of political savvy and are too busy with their daily lives to pay a lot of attention to the inside baseball of politics in D.C., let alone their state capitals. They only know what they want, a return to the good old days when everyone got along as they were in charge. A time when Ronnie and Tip O'Neill could knock down a wee dram or two of the Whiskey Betha, Whiskey Bar, Gaelic, water of life, together while America forged ahead with the destruction of the middle class and the building of a hegemonic military empire. Trump may have his base of crazies that the corporate media empire loves to exploit, but I think I see where the real silent majority of Republican-leaning people may be. And that includes all those conservative independents who are just looking for a leader they can respect in their way. Once again, they seem to be a kind that could easily be compelled to vote for someone like Liz Cheney in a heartbeat. I think Cheney is well aware of this. She's more than a furlong smarter than any of the dunderheads who ousted her from her leadership position, and she may be more evil. She was spawned from evil, so that only makes sense. She's also well connected to old Republican money and influence. Don't count her out. Trump may be on his way to the Nightcrawler Cafe. That's two. Trump may be on his way to the Nightcrawler Cafe, but the ghost of Ronnie Reagan is getting the band back together and looking for a comeback in my neck of the woods. Related side note, check out Kevin Falconer, former mayor of San Diego and now the leading Republican candidate running for governor of California against Gavin Newsom in the upcoming recall. I expect him to start taking his cues from Liz Cheney. As a Reagan acolyte, he fits the mold. It's likely he won't unseat Newsom, but it'll be a good warm-up for him to gain recognition and come out blazing in 2022. By the way, Robin, Some of the conversations on the show this week, in particular, have been so exquisite and enthralling, even from those with whom I disagree, that I feel obliged to ante up what few ducats I can to help keep this game going. Keep dealing them. Thanks to you and the entire Horn community. Well, thank you. Damn, thank you, Glenn. What a brilliant observation and explanation. I think you really have encapsulated a big chunk of it. So thank you, Glenn. And I can happily announce, thanks to John and PA, that we have wiped out the When Billionaires Choose, You Lose challenge. That means the Thank You, President Biden $25 challenge is now on the table. And we are at about an hour and 5 minutes left in the program. We've got, adding it all together, if all the challenges get met, if all the challenges get met, we will reduce this week's fundraising deficit by $540, and that would take us down to $500 left. So we got of challenges remaining, we have 135 bucks. We got 135 bucks remaining, and after that, we will have 540 to go. So the challenges come first, and thank you to everyone who made them. Matt in San Francisco, with what you said about being furious, John, Matt said, 100%, brother John. It's not you, it's them. I'm right there with you on feeling we're in a very dark period, and the fascists have had a taste of power, and they're mobilizing to regain it and go full tilt boogie into grabbing the levers and never letting go. Now is not the time to take our eyes off the prize. Now is the time to stay alert and fight them on every front. Hear, hear. Amen. Yes. Matt. John?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I appreciate that. And I'm not trying to bring everybody down. I'm just trying to stay alert, like Matt said, and just really, I mean, like, we really got to watch these guys, because they got the bit in their teeth, and they're raring to go. They are raring to go, and they will make absolutely no pretensions about turning this country into a Trump-tatorship full blast, to the point where you have to get down on your knees and kiss, you know, a mascot of Trump's feet or something, you know what I mean? Or portraits in their on your wall, like in North Korea or whatever. I mean, like, actually, back during the 2016 election, I remember when they were live streaming from like Kellyanne Conway would do these live streams from Trump Tower. And in the background, they had this big ass portrait of, like, a dictator type.
Oh, portrait, yeah, that was the big portrait that he paid himself $10,000 for out of his charity.
Yes, I think you're right. Yep.
Let's see. I had another note for you. There it is. Jude in the Great Northwest with another suggestion for when you get to D.C. Jude says, the D.C.'s Holocaust Museum, a must to bear witness. Oh, my God, how stilling it was walking onto that train car. I could almost sense those held in terror as they were sent to the death camps. And then there are the shoes.
Okay.
And the African-American Museum and the Museum of the American Indian. You can spend a couple of weeks there just doing the museums. And then, of course, there's the important stuff, namely the food.
Well, wait, you know what? Can I say something real quick?
Yes, Steve.
Having lived there for so long, the FDR, and maybe you guys mentioned it, but I think the FDR Memorial is honestly, that's ranks way up there. And the Korean War Memorial, but you got to go at night. It'll creep you the fuck out. Because the way they have the lighting on the statues will creep you the hell out, but you gotta go.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Yes, I lived there for 10 years, so let me think here. And you would be, if you're in, you ever see the movie The Exorcist?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, you should, you go across Key Bridge into Georgetown, you can see the steps that Father Damien fell down. They're right next to a mobile station.
I've got a question. Is D.C. ever going to get statehood, or is that just an illusion?
Well, at least not until we make Joe Manchin irrelevant.
Oh, yeah, I know. I keep forgetting Joe Manchin. Yeah, sorry. Stupid question.
Was it needs a constitutional amendment? So,
yeah.
I mean, what? I don't even remember. What does it? Or I don't remember. There is a thing about admission to state. I don't know if under the current constitution you could do that, because that is considered part of a state. Okay, and I know you're not supposed to be able to do that, notwithstanding West Virginia, but. I know.
Well, if D.C. were a state, they would have had state police to stop the insurrection, but they were relying on federal people who were in the, you know, under the.
Who are compromised. Some of them were compromised.
Yeah.
By the way, going back to the Room of Shoes at the Holocaust Museum, Jeremy in Vermont says, sounds like no big deal, but it was one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen or smelt.
Yep, because it's like a fucking train car full of them, if I remember right.
Yeah.
What shoes? What do you mean?
They are shoes that were taken from people who were being sent to their deaths.
Yeah, there's a really good there's a really good Holocaust film. Alain René, Nacht und Nebel, La Nuit et le Brouillard, a fabulous film, 30 minutes, but he goes into detail, and they show these big warehouses that are, still exist of shoes. But if you ever want to see a good film on the Holocaust, watch Claude Lanzmann's film, Shoah. I watched 9.5 hours of it last week. I don't know why. I must have been in a masochistic mood. It's depressing, but it's so well done. It's an amazing film. He did that in 86. So it's Claude Lanzmann, Shoah. But he has these people interviews. It's 9 hours of interviews of people talking about their experiences. And when they had the guy on who was part of the Jewish authority in Warsaw, they sat him down. The first thing he did, he started crying. He had to get up, and they had to cut. And it's really an emotional film. It's just amazing because you see the human effect of memory on these people who suffered.
Well, the goddess of irony is hard at work. I don't know how this works out except to note her hand in it. So I mentioned the Room of Shoes. Jeremy opined on the Room of Shoes. And the alert that I just got from BuzzFeed, 29 pairs of shoes so comfortable you may be tempted to cry tears of joy. You know, that ain't funny. But then the goddess of irony works in irony, not always humor. So, but yeah. That's just
John,
weird.
So John.
Hold on, Steve. I had a note from Jessica answering your question. Depression, says Jessica. Yes, I was on Zoloft for about 5 years, seasonal affective disorder, and I got to know each other quite intimately. I will say it hasn't bothered me as much as it used to for the past almost 2 years. Estrogen and progesterone are the best mood elevators I've been prescribed, and the same thing happened with me. I've had horrible, horrible panic and anxiety disorder all my life. And it probably stems in part from what happened to me when I was a child and everything else. And I started my hormone replacement therapy. I haven't had a panic attack. I haven't had an anxiety attack. Nothing. I'm just even. And, you know, this is not an advertisement for estradiol or progesterone. Because you only take it if you're trans, I mean, in this situation. But, yeah, I concur entirely with what Jessica's Robin, experience has been. Yes, Steve?
Robin, let's be honest here. What you're saying, that's an advertisement for being yourself.
Well, yeah, I'd say.
That's real freedom right there.
Are you going to go off on a hillbilly elitist rant on me again?
No, not at all. No, the only thing I was going to say is I wish the ibuprofen was working as well on my sore muscles after these first couple of days of workouts as the estrogen worked on my anxiety. Because I'm sore as shit. But that's okay. It's a good kind of sore. And I'm looking forward to... I'm going to get back in there and make myself miserable again some more tomorrow. And you know, but it feels really, really good.
I'll say one last thing to John. And unfortunately, John, I can't help you with what I'm about to tell you. I had a friend of mine when I was in college who now works for the Secret Service. And he's not an agent. He is in what's called the FSD, the Forensic Services Division. Regardless, he got us some great tools, and I'm probably one of the few people who've ever I'm one of the few people, period, who, at least tourists, but I'm probably one of the very few, if not the only person in the entire Horn community who got to walk throughout the West Wing and the Oval Office and the Cabinet Room and the Roosevelt Room and stand behind the podium in the press room, go into the bowling alley.
Wow.
Because my friend was in the service, he got us in to see some neat shit. I tell you this, I've tried to get in touch with him in the past. We've lost touch because I was trying to get people to if I knew people who were going there to see if I could connect with him to try to get anybody I know in to see the West Wing, and it's just it's not easy to do. But you know, tell you what, if Robin wants to, and if you're interested, Robin has my email. She can give that to you. You feel free to email me since I lived there for 10 years. If you have questions, feel free.
Excellent. Absolutely, Steve. I appreciate that, man. And by the way, I love when you call in. I love hearing your takes on things. I think you and I are pretty close in ideology and stuff, compared to everybody else, maybe perhaps. And yeah, I really like last night. I think I got a little smarter by listening to you three, Robin, you and Flavio last night. It's great, just a great.
Well,
conversation.
Thank you, John. Yeah, on behalf of Flavio, yeah. who isn't in the conversation this evening, I will thank you because, you know, you're Steve and Flavio are both brilliant in their own right, and it's magic, and it's a privilege for me every evening. I need to send out a thank you very kindly to our pal Kevin in Western Mass, who reminds me when I was talking about there being a Florida, Missouri, and a Mexico, Missouri, and a California, Missouri, but not a Florida, California. Kevin in Western Mass reminded me that there is a Florida, Massachusetts in the Berkshires, so I get to learn a new thing this evening. That's awesome. Anyway, Kevin wiped out your thank you, President Biden challenge,
okay.
Steve.
Okay.
So now we've got $110 worth of challenges remaining, courtesy of Rico's Great Day for America challenge in the Warming Burg. And that's $100. And the $10 challenge, courtesy of Billable Rick. And we've got not very long to make it. I mean, there's 51 minutes left in the program. And after that, if we want to not have an $840 deficit come Monday, which makes my liver quiver, we need to knock some of that down too. But right now there's 110 matching dollars on the table. And thank you oh so very much, Rico and Billable. And thanks, Steve, and thank you, Kevin. Thanks to everybody who's jumped in this evening, because I don't know why. And like I said before, it's not just this program. It's all of them. Everybody's struggling right now, because somewhere, I guess politics is still sucking all the oxygen out of the room.
You know what I think it is?
What?
You know what I think it is? And I think this latest mask announcement does it. Epitomizes it. People are kind of in a holding mode where they're kind of like, I don't know what to do. And then they get this news and they say, because I was thinking about this, what have we been saying the entire time? Follow the science, and the science finally comes out and says exactly what we wanted to hear, and all of a sudden we're like, well, wait, what? And I think we've kind of been in that mode for quite a while now. And I think that's in some odd way, there is more uncertainty now than there was 6 months ago. Hello?
There certainly is a lot more anxiety now. I've noticed the past 6 weeks I've been more anxious, though. And I don't know if it's just because I've been separated. I've been doing the social lockdown and staying away from people.
That's because you're weird.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I am antisocial. but not a sociopath.
Hey, I have to ask you, have you ever heard of there's a Swedish vampire film called Let the Right One In?
I've heard of that. The one that everybody's loves right now is the what do they call it? Svega, what do they call that in Scandinavian? It's the what do they call those monsters? It's the monster hunter. These old trolls are trying to find Norwegian forests. It's supposed to be a big hit in Germany. Was in Norway, but I can't remember the name of it. Trolljäger in German, so it's a troll hunter. It's a funny series.
No, but this is a weird one. I remember, hey Robin, remember I go to that? I haven't been there in a while. The Dudathon.
Oh yeah.
Well, when we go to the Dudathon after the Big Lebowski's over, they usually have a movie after that, and sometimes it can be kind of a weirdo movie. One of them was Let the Right One In, and it's this Swedish vampire movie. It's fucking weird. All I remember was watching it and going, what the fuck is this? But, you know, like looking at a baboon's butt, you look away, but you can't help but look back. And that's, you know, maybe I could have chosen a better analogy, but that's one that came to mind. But yeah, you should look it up. It's called Let the Right One In. It's a fucking weird movie, but in some strange way it's real. I really, really liked it.
Has anyone here ever watched Carl Dreyer's films, Passion of Joan of Arc? A beautiful silent film, came out in 26, but he uses wide angle lenses and he puts the camera lower on the ground. But you can't help but sympathize with Joan of Arc. You start crying within the first 10 minutes. It's the most emotional film I've seen for a silent film. Carl Dreyer is a French production, but he's Danish. He did several films in Denmark, silent films as well. He's up there with Murnau.
So you're one of these highfalutin film people. Look.
No.
Yeah, I was. You are. Yes, you are. I'm not that way at all. I am not the least bit. I'm very supportive of the arts, but for lack of a better term, I'm not artsy, and I'm certainly not fartsy, and I'm absolutely not artsy-fartsy.
Well, can I give you a quote, a Theodor Adorno quote? a great work of art is an uncommitted crime, and I think there's a lot of truth to that. Anything that can change people's minds and thinking – I go for, and I've always been more interested in the avant-garde aspect of film. Like Buñuel's films are amazing, his Chien de Loup or L'Âge d'Or, Age of Gold, Andalusian Dog. They're really interesting films. He did Andalusian Dog with Dolly, so I got into going.
Dolly Parton?
Yeah, Dolly Parton.
Salvador Dolly, the surrealist who also did the dream sequence in. The Gregory Peck film, Spellbound, Hitchcock. So, but I love movies. I'm a movie nut, if you want to watch a really great Hitchcock film, watch Psycho. It's one of the best films, directed films I've ever seen. And it maintains this tension throughout. It's really a slow moving film.
See, here's the problem. You actually have respect for people who are directors and filmmakers and actors. I don't.
Oh, okay.
I don't mean that to sound like a dick. Actually,
nihilist. You're a nihilist.
No, I'm a fucking nihilist.
You're a nihilist. Oh, okay.
Fucking nihilist.
But I mean, I love German cinema. Some of the best films made were made in Germany in the 1920s.
Otto.
Otto.
Wait a minute. I'm taking you off. We're having a little sidebar here in front of everybody.
Uh-huh.
But you do understand what Robin's what that comment came from, right? Nihilist.
Nihilist. Yeah, I understand nihilism.
No.
Robin, are we dealing with an unbaptized?
We may be.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, how many years did it take? How many years did it take us to get Scott to watch it? Scott,
I was just thinking about Scott.
About to what? To do what?
The Big Lebowski.
Oh, that's a great film.
Yeah. Talk about nihilists.
Yeah. I love those German characters, though.
And the greatest, I have to tell you, the greatest line from that movie is, say what you want about the tenets of National Socialism, at least it's an ethos. Is that not? Can I just say?
If we're going to talk about film, I personally don't know how we've managed to get this far into the into the highfalutin film conversation without talking about Jackie Treehorn.
I've been told I'm an elitist, but that's only because I'm an intellectual. I speak fluent French. I also speak German. And I read and I study. I'm trying to read Thomas Mann's Dr. Faustus right now, and it's a bitch of a book to read. It's like every fourth word I don't understand, so I get really lazy. So I pick. So
it's
I
because he was film. Making them up as he went along. You can do that in German.
That's true.
Back Pfeifengeschicht.
If you ever want to read a good writer in German, read Franz Kafka. Die Verwandlung, The Metamorphosis, is a great little book.
They made me read that in high school, and I had nightmares for weeks. kept looking for a giant, kept worrying about waking up the next, because I had other issues anyway, so I kept worrying about waking up, instead of being what I wanted to wake up as, I would wake up as a cockroach. For me, if you want it, there is no better commentary on German than Mark Twain.
Oh, I know that article too.
The awful German language. I was pondering this the other day. I'm not gonna try to chase off the audience by talking about that, there is a passage in the awful German language where he has gone off on, and of course anybody who studied Latin knows it's the same, Greek, whatever, that nouns have gender. And what Twain does in assailing the gender of German nouns is to point out the foolhardiness of rigid gender. And he does it linguistically, but he does it by translating, and, he was making it up, but by translating a German schoolbook story, which he translates directly from German as the tale of the fishwife and its sad fate. And he writes, every noun has a gender, and there is no sense or system in the distribution, kind of like life. So the gender of each must be learned separately and by heart. There's no other way. To do this, one has to have a memory like a memorandum book. In German, a young lady has no sex, while a turnip has. Think what overwrought reverence that shows for the turnip and what callous disrespect for the girl. See how it looks in print. I translate this from a conversation in one of the best of the German Sunday school books. Gretchen. Gretchen says, Wilhelm, where is the turnip? Wilhelm replies, she has gone to the kitchen. Gretchen, where is the accomplished and beautiful English maiden? Wilhelm, it has gone to the opera. A tree is male, its buds are female, its leaves are neuter, horses are sexless, dogs are male, cats are female, tomcats included. Of course, a person's mouth, neck, bosom, elbows, fingers, nails, feet, and body are of the male sex, and his head is male or neuter according to the word selected to signify it, and not according to the sex of the individual who wears it. For in Germany, all women either all the women either male heads or sexless ones. A person's nose, lips, shoulders, breast, hands, and toes are of the female sex, and his hair, eyes, chin, legs, knees, heart, and conscience haven't any sex at all. The inventor of the language probably got what he knew about a conscience from hearsay. God, that's brilliant.
But there is no inventor of German. German is basically a filtration thanks to Martin Luther and thanks to the Gutenberg Bible. So there's different. Es gibt so viele verschiedene Sprachen in Deutschland. Und Deutsch, Hochdeutsch, ist in allgemein accepted, high German and low German, and that's what you've got now. But you have so many different dialects.
Oh, absolutely. But Twain, you know, and Twain was self-taught in all of his things. So he actually bothered to learn German while he was, you know, there in the Victorian era. And you go and you spend a while. And he said, in the German, it is true that by some oversight of the inventor of the language, a woman is a female, but a wife, Weib, is not, which is unfortunate. A wife, here, has no sex. She is neuter. So according to the grammar, a fish is a he, his scales are she, but a fishwife is neither. To describe a wife as sexless may be called under-description, that is bad enough, but over-description is surely worse. A German speaks of an English woman as the Engländer. To change the sex, he adds I-N-N, and that stands for English woman, Engländerin. That seems descriptive enough, but still it is not exact enough for the German, so he precedes the word with that article which indicates that the creature to follow is feminine, and writes it down thus, die Engländerin, which means the she English woman. I consider that person is over-described.
Can I say something? Mädchen is neuter, das Mädchen, and I always ask Germans, why is that so? Why isn't it die Mädchen?
I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah, and they just accept it.
No, I know okay. Why.
Why?
C-H-E, okay. It comes...
You
have to understand something. Gender in German has nothing to do with male or female or not, or neither.
Right.
It has to do with certain rules for certain forms of words. There is a word called die Mat, which is a woman. And das Mädchen is the diminutive. So anytime you have a diminutive of something, you add C-H-E-N, which makes
you have Fraulein is das Fraulein.
Yeah, but Fraulein is not a diminutive. But you have, there's the word der Hund, which means dog, but das Hündchen, which is a little dog.
Is so that like a chihuahua or a puppy?
It's just a small dog. Probably more like puppy.
Okay.
It's not a particular kind of dog.
God, we are off the rails. But at least we're not filthy yet. So, you know, I'm going to call that a win. And hey, another win. This is great news. Herbert, thank you so very kindly. Herbert just wiped out the Great Day for America challenge, courtesy of Rico, as well as Rick's challenge, and Ralph's just jumped in and took out the remainder of Billable Rick's GOP Go Fuck a Duck challenge. And so here we are in order to finish the week with, 36 minutes left remaining in the program. We got $530 to go, which basically means all of today and 230 of yesterday. So, you know, we're $530 from a Horn Family Community Congregation, community-made miracle. And thank you, Herbert. Thank you so very much. And Earther says, you're a nihilist. No, I'm not.
Must be exhausting. I just want to let everyone know, or let whoever cares, I'm going to actually go on mute. I'm still working, but I wanted to you know, blather a bit and put my 1.5 cents in. But it's good talking to everybody. Please be well.
Always, always a pleasure.
And I'm not going to say wear your mask because I'm going to say wear your mask if you want to.
Yeah.
If you feel compelled to.
If you're in a place where people, I mean, I would say mask wearing is still good in West Virginia, a good idea in West Virginia, Mississippi, Stan, Talabama. I mean, remember, Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis turned all the variants loose in Florida over spring break. And we frankly don't have that good a data on how the variants behave relative to the vaccine. But it is nice to feel like, you know, we can be out in public. I've never hated the masks. Ever since I started fooling around with makeup, well, it will wreck 2 hours of cosmetic work, and but that beats the hell out of being horizontally crucified on a ventilator now, doesn't it? At least, you know, that's where I come down.
The California mask mandate ends June 15th.
Well, ours apparently ends on West Virginia Day, June 20th. And, of course, in the Confederacy, federal unemployment assistance ends on Juneteenth because why not make a racist statement out of taking money out of people's pockets and food out of people's mouths? It wouldn't be Republican if they weren't. So, yeah, that. Let's see if there is there anybody we haven't heard from in the conversation? We haven't heard from Jeremy. We haven't heard from Jack. We haven't heard from Chris and Morgan. Any of y'all got anything? Don't everybody talk at once.
Steve from Georgia.
Yes. Oh, there's Steve. There's Skeeve.
Yeah, Robin.
Robin.
How are you,
what's
buddy?
Shaking, man. Oh, man. Do you remember the, you're a Looney Tunes fan. You remember the Porky Pig Donald Duck cartoon where Donald Duck was a push button salesman and he sells a Porky Pig this house with all kind of push buttons?
Oh, yeah.
You remember? And the theme to the whole thing is don't touch that red button. Don't touch that red button. That's what I've been feeling like all week. Because they're telling people not to hoard fucking gas. And what do?
Go hoard fucking gas.
They hoard gas. Don't touch the red button. It's like Irish Dave said last night. Don't read the sign, you know?
Don't think of an elephant.
Nothing, if nobody would ever said anything, there would have never been a problem. This thing got fixed so quickly. But what caused?
No, it's like Flavio talking last night about Stephanie Ruhle saying, "Well, you know, President Biden says don't hoard gas, but go fill your tank."
And here's something really funny, Blobbin. Florida, in South Florida, they had lines. Here's a little secret. Florida's a peninsula. They don't have any colonial pipelines going there. None. Zero. Oh, they get all their gas from them.
Well, Steve, that's why we spell it F-L-O-R-I-D-U-H. Flora. Duh.
Jesus Christ. The stupidity of people, it's overwhelming. Just listen to Washington Journal any given morning, and your head will fucking explode right off your shoulders, man.
Hey, Steve. It's Chris.
Hey, Chris. What's up, bro?
Hey, how are you, man? Hey, do you think Hefty's going to have to come out with a new garbage bag just for carrying gasoline?
Did you see that? These stupid MFers, man.
Well, but now, it was explained to me early in the program that those photos of the idiots with the gasoline in the plastic bags were from 2019.
Oh, really? Oh, it really ruins it.
I mean, I saw a great one yesterday. I think it was David in South Carolina. Stan sent it along. Picture of a guy with his AR-15 Freedom Protector standing next to the pump while his buddy fills up his red 5-gallon gas can.
Yeah, I posted that in the chat.
I'd like to see some moron put gasoline in a styrofoam cooler.
That'd be cute.
But have you noticed? have you noticed the news reports of morons, you know, torching their vehicles because they didn't have the right equipment to store gas? You know, it spilled and they'd be smoking a cigarette or something stupid. And then they had this, like, this guy with a Ford 350, that new one, that was, like, completely torched because he was an idiot, you know.
Yeah, it's like that. Just blew up his Hummer.
Yeah. But, you know, what do you put on your insurance claim? I was toting some gas. My rig blew up.
You know. Yeah, I was thinking, Robin, when you were telling that story, I was just imagining that woman was playing Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA, and isn't that the song I'm on Fire is on that album?
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, I'm no singing. We got $530 to go. Why did you make me do that? Hey, y'all, I got a story here.
$500. You had 30 gone a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Did I not mention that? Okay, great. Thank you, Jeremy. So we're down to $500. Thank you so much. That's tremendous. I'm sorry I was a little slow on the draw there. I'm just trying to do, well, I screw up here. Someone was on the stress line like for freaking ever and just gave up. And I only, cause it goes dark on me and then I'm running around, you know, the different devices. If you were on the stress line, please call back. I'll get you into the conversation. I sincerely apologize. I got a story here because, you know, I was talking about how, you know, how generally shitty the Ivy League is, just in terms of getting stuff monumentally freaking wrong. I think I've got one of those for the ages here. Thank you, Jack in Shreveport. We're down 450. We're down to 450. Thank you, Jack. Thank you so much. So the story comes out of The Guardian, and the bombing of the MOVE compound that Joey mentioned in his journal, the anniversary, the 1985 MOVE bombing in May. Well, it turns out that at Princeton University in New Jersey, the very bones of the children who were murdered when the city of Philadelphia bombed the MOVE the MOVE row houses, their bones have been used as a case study in an online forensic anthropology course taught by a Princeton professor online. They've been doing it for 36 years. And the unburied bones of these little children, sinless, blameless, murdered, have been sitting in anthropological collections at the University of Pennsylvania and at Princeton. And it's, I mean, there were bones belonging to a girl in her teens that were dragged out of the MOVE house at 6221 Osage Avenue in Philly. And Philly, the story came out because Philly was getting ready to mark its first ever commemoration or day of remembrance for the police bombing on the 13th of May, 1985, of the MOVE house. It killed 11 people. Five of them were children. Their ages were between 7 and 14. And their very bones were not even allowed the honor of a decent burial.
But Robin, why should we care about those children? They already left the uterus.
Well, that's a very Republican thing to say. Because it's the very Republican thing the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those stories that I've had for a couple of days, and I just didn't want it to go unmarked. It's like the line in Death of a Salesman. where, what's the character's name? It's his wife, and she says, attention must be paid.
Yeah.
I hate to admit it. I've never heard of this bombing. Dare I ask, were they the color I think they were of the people?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you were 5 at the time, Jeremy, so. But, yeah, the Philadelphia police dropped a bomb from a helicopter on a house. And of the 11 people they killed, 5 of them were children.
Basically, it was a collective of people living in a complex in town, and police didn't like them.
Yeah, and in fact, I just got a note from Todd in South Carolina, Stan, who says, the ongoing contempt in Philly for MOVE and MUMIA are deep, venomous, and real.
Ongoing.
Yeah. 26 years later. Well, remember, Todd mentions MUMIA Abu-Jamal. Joe Manchin blocked the nomination, Barack Obama's nomination of the head of the Civil Rights Division of the DOJ for the simple reason that he was black and he had once worked on an appellate brief for MUMIA.
Wow.
I mean, it's a fact. And he said, we can't have anybody in the Department of Justice who's ever defended a cop killer like MUMIA Abu-Jamal.
Wow.
Hey, Robin, I don't know if you said it already, but who was the mayor of Philly at the time? And I remember this came up. Cittadini, like, paid major tribute to that guy. What was the mayor's name? During the time of that bombing?
No, was that Frank Rizzo?
Yeah, I think so. And I remember Cittadini wanted to, like, fucking carve a statue.
Yeah, is Frank Rizzo dead? I think Frank Rizzo's dead.
Ooh, good question. Maybe we could ask the corpulent corpse.
Let's just ask Mr. Google. He died in 1991. And I just wanted to check before I said it, because he was so crooked that they couldn't bury him in a regular coffin. They had to get a tractor with an auger on it and screw him into the dirt.
Oh, I got to remember that.
He was too crooked to bury.
Too fast for love, too crooked to bury.
Yeah, and as Randy Radar points out, not only that, they were socialists. So, you know, they deserve to be bombed.
Hey, Robin, what's that old Jethro Tull album? Too Young to Rock and Roll?
Too Old to Rock and Roll, Too Young to Die.
Right, there you go.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. You know, why the hell not? We got a... and protesters store... Randy Radar tells me protesters tore Frank Rizzo's statue down last summer.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
Maybe they could ship it off to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, Mar-a-Lardass?
Yeah.
The neighbors don't like him down there. They're getting pissed off. I saw a report on YouTube about that.
Yeah, they're anticipating him being indicted, and the city is taking measures for when the maggots lose their tiny fucking minds. Yeah, here's the song.
Unfashionable to the end, drag his aim to light. Dance at bells, buckle, yesterday's dreams, the transport cap, profit of doom.
Skip a bit, brother.
It's okay.
I wanted to get to the line. Yeah, there we go. Okay. Our old DJ Rachel, moment is now concluded.
Rachel mentioned that Trump story about him and Mar-a-Lago and mentioned that, unfortunately, it's been mentioned that Ron DeSantis has talked about blocking extradition if he's called up and indicted.
Well, he can't block extradition if it's federal. But theoretically, he could do, and that's probably why he's probably already Nitwit Nero's probably already got a deal with Monkey Up. But that is predicated on Monkey Up. That's predicated on Monkey Up remaining the governor.
Yeah, but then we can arrest Monkey Up for obstruction of justice, can't we? If he gets in the way of a federal indictment?
Well, he couldn't block it if it's federal. That's the thing. If it's a New York indictment,
then we arrest him for obstruction.
No, because it's a state charge. So if Cy Vance Jr. or Letitia James indicts him, then remember, the United States is a collection of 50 poorly governed petty kingdoms. Oh, and it was, it wasn't Frank Rizzo. Frank Rizzo just sucked.
Right. Oh, who was it then?
Well, I don't know. Rank Frizzo. Rick Frizzo was the crooked mayor.
We need Todd, who is responsible for everything that ever happened in Philadelphia.
Yeah, he was the crooked mayor, but Wilson Good, this is Todd speaking. Wilson Good, a North Carolina Negro, was the mayor at the time of the MOVE bombing. In addition, Rank Frizzo's brother was the police commissioner who really orchestrated the bombing event. I thought there was a Rizzo in there somewhere. So thank you. I'm sorry that we regret the error. And by the way, let me see here. The extradition thing is actually kind of an interesting notion, because did you know that in the formal and when you get an extradition warrant from one state to another, it comes with like the Red Maker's Mark whiskey wax seal and a little ribbon on it, and it's all rolled up and shit, and it's on fancy ass paper, and you know, with a big masthead on it.
It's like a Trump's print after the fact presidential seal.
Fancier than that, and it says.
Ooh.
It says it would say, for instance, in Monkey Up's case, to His Excellency.
Oh my God,
Ron Monkey Up DeSantis, Governor of the State of Florida. Oh, it's fancy shit. And then it lists His Excellency, because governors are excellencies.
Oh God. No.
Well, have you seen that picture?
Remember the Spanish word gobernador, which I'm sure I'm horribly mispronouncing. But a gobernador is an excellency.
I'm sure when Blago met his first roommate in prison, that's the first thing he said to him, like, make sure you call me Your Excellency.
With that hair, I'll call you anything I want to, Blanche.
Have you seen the picture of DeSantis? Like, he's got some kind of tan, and he dyed his hair like kind of blonde, or maybe that was a doctored photograph. But it was weird. It's like he's positioning himself for a 2024 run. There's talk about that he's going to run for president.
Yeah. So anyway, just to flesh this out. So the writ of extradition goes from Governor A to Governor B. His Excellency, Her Excellency, all that horseshit. I mean, you know, for instance, if you wanted to extradite somebody from Talabama, you would direct it to Her Excellency, Governor Meemaw, Governor of the State of Talabama. But then, you know, there has to be a court proceeding And he could theoretically block a DeSantis could refuse to participate, at least in theory. Yeah. But as Randy Radar points out, didn't he just move to New Jersey? So there's a real problem if he gets indicted while he's in New Jersey. Because if he gets indicted while he's in New Jersey and then tries to hightail it back to Florida, he will be a fleeing felon.
Ooh.
And that gets real interesting real quick.
Oh, I like that. The Orange Menace on the run.
Hey, I wanted to mention a couple of things before.
Yeah, hey, Jack.
Let's see. There was just, like, I've known about him for, you know, it wasn't like yesterday, but we're going to get one of those in Shreveport, an Amazon fulfillment center, which, you know, they just went through, I don't know, somewhere in South Louisiana. They, you know, I think the union or something, you know, they bought it or something and decided to leave. It was, but, you know, there's supposed to be like, I don't know, maybe five of them in Louisiana or something, but, you know, as shitty as those places are and the way we've been talking about them, you know, it's like, oh, great. Here we, you know, we get to have one. And then the other thing that's happened, or I saw it on the news anyway, I don't know when they happened, but, one of those Civil War reenactments, and I seen, like, let's see, it was about a week ago, I saw one, and it was in-depth, and then the other one was, like, it was the same, you know, battle, but it was, like, I don't know, a month ago or something. I don't know what the deal is, but anyway, it was the Battle of Pleasant Hill, 1864, and like one comment from like one of the, you know, I don't know, I guess he was on the side of the South, you know, to the news guy, you know, doing the report. Well, you know, the Civil War wasn't about slavery. And that was one, and I guess it was they were defending the Northern, you know. Army that's coming for their, you know, cotton fields, their livelihoods and everything. And it was like, oh, it was all theirs, you know, and they went, you know, getting somebody to do the work for them, you know. But, you know, it's just, and they do it every year. So, you know, it kind of you know, it's a great way to inject the same story, you know, just over and over every fucking year, you know. But that's Shreveport. Anyway, that, you know, it was just a couple little items.
Wow. But, you know, I mean, that's just a day that ends in Y in Louisiana, standing it, Jack.
Yeah. Oh, and when you were mentioning like sunny days, it's like, you know, I get the same thing, you know, it's like when it's a sunny day, man, I'm loving it. And it was sunny yesterday and today, and this is why I say it's going to turn to total shit tomorrow. Of course, I was doing my taxes today and had my shot, you know, to go do. And I can see the sun's still up, you know, coming through the windows, but it's like, I don't know, what is it? Sundown's like 8 o'clock, but, you know, it'll stop coming through, you know. It'll get dark. Oh, and the other thing is I was hearing you talk about the Advil and stuff, and I have to take, you know, more than two to, you know, have it work, but I tried that, like, what is it, that naproxen or what is it, Aleve or something?
Yeah, naproxen sodium.
Doesn't seem to work worth shit, man.
I've heard from a lot of people that it's really, really good on, like, tooth pain.
Oh. Okay.
But it's never done diddly for me otherwise. Tylenol, please. My entire system laughs at Tylenol. Yeah, the only two things that have ever worked for me are aspirin and ibuprofen.
Okay. And I take the Tylenol, but you can't You know, I try to alternate, you know, with the, you know, you can't keep taking the Advil every time, you know. I'm not, you know, my feet will start fucking hurting or my back, you know, it's like, fuck, you know.
Yeah.
I got.
Well, I mean, when, if you get a chance, you know, I cannot. Did you try some of the Priest trees?
No, I have a note somewhere, but no, I had never got, it got interrupted.
Well, for top it, you know, it doesn't work for, it's not, I mean, not that it doesn't work, but what it's great for is muscle pain and tissue pain, not like bone pain.
Right.
And, you know, like the soreness from me starting to work out again, it took a lot of that away. And John Bridavo's not kidding. It is almost instantaneous.
Mm.
Now, when I had my oral surgery last month, you know, they sent me home with four hydrocodones and said, after that, take ibuprofen.
Uh-huh.
And I was taking that every 800 milligrams every 6 hours. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you know, it wasn't unbearable, but it sure wasn't no. And that's not that I wanted to just, you know, nod off in an opioid haze, but those things have a fucking purpose, as, you know, as our pal Steve from Georgistan can point out. Right. I need to send some thank yous out. Thank you very kindly to Rico, who just edited his pledge over at Patreon. Thank you. And that gets us down to $4.90. And Christopher, Chris said, a teeny bit of weight off. Please apply it to one of the challenges. I'm sorry, but all the challenges, we ran out of challenges. But they got filled. But what you've done, Chris, is you've taken us down to $470 to go. That means there's 170 of yesterday and 300 today. And that is so, so, so helpful. Thank you very much, Chris. I appreciate it. We all appreciate it. You know, this is a little community that exists because of the determination of people to see that it continues. And I can't thank you enough because, among other things, I found out today, because fun, I heard this, and everybody knows what I'm talking about. I'm driving along, and all of a sudden I hear this roaring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tomorrow morning I get to go to the garage and pick up the car, which now has new brakes and rotors all the way around, and one new caliper. So you know, when that's where this week a big chunk of this week's deficit is going. God Almighty. I mean, I've got a great mechanic. He's a real good guy, smart as a whip. They don't rip me off. They don't inflate things. And when they find problems, they tell me about them. And you know, I mean, the hourly rate is great. They don't screw me on parts, but yeah, it's just a long damn job. And right. I would rather, you know, it just crossed 62,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And. I thought it was a bearing, and I was like, really? Bearings at 62,000 miles? Me dead.
I thought they were supposed to squeal or something.
Because this thing got, they were, but this thing got down to just bare metal, and boom. And, man, because I started hearing it a couple of days ago, and I couldn't get it into the garage before now.
Right.
And in that short amount of time, and I wasn't doing that, it had completely chewed into the rotors.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, you know, that's going to be some $500 or $600 horror story. You know, I wish I could say that it was going toward new upholstery in the Gulfstream 5 that I caught at auction from Fat Dead Rush Limbaugh's estate, but now I wouldn't bid on that because you'd spend all your time and all your money fumigating the goddamn thing, and who wants to do that?
Well, there's pills everywhere, you know, on his Gulfstream.
Yeah, I mean, there's ground. There's old OxyContin dust from where he was grinding them up for the refreshing burst of flavor, and that shit goes through your skin and just sucks.
Yeah. Are you telling us Rush just isn't on a long vacation? He's actually not coming back?
No, no, he's not. He's not coming back, Jeremy. The America's Truth Detector is no longer detecting truth. He is, in fact, he's pining for the fjords of the all boys resort in the Dominican Republic.
But I did get told today by my Facebook MAGA friend that his show is still on the air. It is being run with guest hosts, and they are playing clips. And it is just so informative that I'm a dumbass because I don't listen to it.
Did they mention any of the guests? I can only imagine.
No.
Well, I think isn't the official replacement going to be Dan Bongino?
I haven't got a clue. I don't listen to the.
Well, neither do I. And I was going to point out that the guy's about as interesting to listen to as listening to Paint Dry.
Is that John Bon Jovi's like evil doppelganger? Or something?
Yes, it absolutely is, Chris. Absolutely, it is. Wait a minute.
I got told today that our gas shortage is because we canceled the Keystone Pipeline.
God damn, it hurts. It just fucking hurts.
They don't even realize that that gas wasn't going to us and it was going to fucking China because it's so expensive to refine.
Yeah.
Well, the thing I keep pointing out on the Keystone XL pipeline was the tar sands are coming from Canada to be sent down to the Gulf Coast to be refined so that the people in the Gulf Coast get all the cancer, and then the petroleum products were going to export. And that's what that pipeline was. It was just the Koch brothers getting in the middle, Trent getting a grift for transporting the tar sands crap.
I thought the Keystone XL was coming from the tar sands of North Dakota. No,
they're coming out of Canada.
Well, then, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, what was the pipeline that the Sioux people, Standing Rock Sioux people, were protesting?
Oh, well, that's Keystone.
Well, that's coming from the tar sands of North Dakota.
Well, all the way through Alberta, and it goes through North Dakota, I think. I think it does, like, both, maybe. The Keystone.
There are several different Keystone pipelines. Keystone XL was the one that was going through the Indian reservation. And that was the one.
Because the white people didn't want it.
Canada.
No,
it was supposed to go by the capital, Bismarck. And yeah, exactly. The suburbanites were like, fuck that shit, not NIMBY. Fuck you and your NIMBY, right?
What was that pipeline that Biden fixed?
Yeah, that's the.
Go ahead, Jeremy. The reservation, but they're going to run it under the fucking aquifer. They're going to run it through their water.
The Ogallala aquifer.
Shit where you drink. That's a good idea.
Wait, hang on. The problem with in North Dakota with the Sioux was that it was crossing a couple of different rivers and then going underneath a lake, and any pipeline is going to leak. Mm-hmm. Now, the extension of it, and it transports further down when it was going to tie into the other pipeline, is the one that goes across the Ogallala Aquifer, which could contaminate that whole aquifer. Yeah. I mean, there were multiple issues with that whole thing.
Drill, baby, drill.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
jobs.
Yeah, the other post is that the Biden shutting down that pipeline cost 175,000 jobs.
Yeah, so what?
Oh, shit.
Well, where's the 175,000 fucking jobs?
No, they don't. God.
That's ridiculous.
Why, you know?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I heard, like, it was under 100 permanent.
Well, hey, y'all, I've got to roll out of here, and thank you to everybody who got us as far down the road as you did. It's so helpful. I guess we'll start Monday, barring action over the weekend from the overnight crowd and the over the weekend crowd. We'll start Monday with a fundraising goal of $770. So thank you, each and every one of you who continue to support this program and keep it on the air. A reminder, the conversation will continue as the Sparky's back porch conversation once I'm gone from live air. A reminder coming in from Randy Radar. You know, we've got a year's worth of backed up fix-it projects to pay for due to the virus. And it's so many people experiencing that, and you know, the country as a whole. Maybe this is the beginning of something vaguely resembling a return to normalcy. But I'm not leaving. I just realized John Britovo's in the room. Holy God. Hey, John. I can't just walk out and not say hi to John Britovo.
John, you on mute? How you doing, Uncle John?
His mic shows that he's got it hot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
John,
damn.
We can't hear you, John.
What the problem is.
Somebody's stolen his login. It's a hacker.
Yeah, well, the neighbor.
God. Well, John, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to chat. Maybe we can catch up over the weekend. That'd sure be nice. I have post show errands to run that cannot wait, unfortunately. But thanks everybody. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors so very much. You're why this program continues to exist, all of you. And thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky occupying the seat of power and majesty around the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable that is Friday on the Front Porch. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live, who, in fact, reminded me of something earlier this evening. When I mentioned that the Republican Party has turned into a Nigerian prince earlier in the program, Brother Deacon Asa reminded me, if you recall, all the way back in the summer of 2017, I coined the maxim, Trump is a walking Nigerian email scam, and it's absolutely true. Brother Deacon Asa says, I remember where I was. You were on the phone with Todd. Brother Deacon Asa never ceases to amaze me. He has a photographic memory. He's amazing. But yeah, Trump is a walking Nigerian email scam. God, so true, so true. So thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you for all you do to keep HeadOn.live going. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Stay safe, everybody. Get your vaccine as soon as you can, if you haven't already. Stay safe. Don't let your guard down. There are places where you still need your mask, and you still need to wash your hands a lot, and you still need to not touch your face, and you still need to carry your hand sanitizer, because there's a bunch of maggots and various and sundry other mask holes and COVIDiots out there who think that this isn't real, no matter how many people die. My God, there was a story about the horror of what's going on in the interior of India these days, as uncremated bodies washed up on the banks of the ancient sacred Ganges River. Stay safe, please. And of course, if somebody comes towards you hollering, "That Eric Swalwell chased down my spokes creep and yelled in his face," avoid that person like the plague, because she is. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.